This is PFW in Progress.
Here's a nice piece of shit.
PFW in Progress.
Poop again!
He called the shit
poop! This is the best night of my life.
With Red Kirsch.
Shitter!
Paul Perillo.
Where's my snack pack?
You've got a banana. You don't need no snack pack.
You know I like snack pack. Why can't you just give me a snack pack?
And Andy. And Andy?
Whoa. The part of the story I don't like is that the little boy gave up looking for Happy after an hour. That little boy's got a thing. You got a pet. You got a responsibility.
Andy Hart.
If your dog is lost, you don't look for an hour and then call it quits. You get your ass out there and you find that dog.
Some guy named Tom.
I am the smartest man alive!
And you never know. Rory might stop by.
Oh, hot. Want to touch the hiney?
PFW in Progress.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response, were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought? Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Welcome to PFW Progress. It's Fred Kirsch, Paul Perillo, Tom Casale, Andy Hart, Gary in the booth. Hey, you know what? At Monday, we were at the Patriots Charitable Golf Tournament. So we figured we'd start this show off with some of the exclusive player interviews that we got while we were there. And we'll follow that by, of course, the show and taking all your emails. But first, enjoy these interviews that we got at the Patriots Charitable
Golf. All right, back here in PFW in Progress. We are here at the International in Bolton, Mass. And this is the location for the 2007 Patriots Charitable Foundation Golf Tournament. And as we do every year, we're broadcasting from the International. And we'll have some players coming up. Gary's out there efforting to try to get some players. We're here. This is a nice club, isn't it?
We've upgraded. We're inside this year at the bar.
Yeah, we came here.
Well, it's raining outside.
Yeah. A day like today.
I had low expectations. I could have seen us outside.
Well, you didn't think we were coming.
Well, that's true. I thought we were going to bag this event.
Well, we were a little late.
I thought the rain might just send us.
They can't cancel this. People have spent thousands of dollars to support the Patriots Charitable Foundation.
No, I just meant us.
Oh, us?
I didn't mean the whole tournament.
No, we're inside.
The tournament never gets canceled. No. You can't just put it the next day.
Right.
The tournament the next day.
But we're here. We're sitting at the bar at the Bolton.
And it's not really raining out right now. It's kind of just...
No, it's like a mist.
Can someone out there send us food?
No, we should get food here.
I'm starving.
We'll be all right today.
If there's no lightning, you're okay.
But should we tell our little story about how we got here and nearly ended up in Boltonville, West Virginia?
Right. What's the big story?
How long did it take us to get here?
This is Andy's chance to make fun of my car now.
It took us a half an hour to get here and 40 minutes for Fred to program how to get here into his navigation system.
That's all right.
It's a very, very nice vehicle.
Yes, thank
very
you.
Nice.
Thank God.
Rides like a dream.
Gone. And we
thank
fit
you.
Right in when we pull in the parking
lot. Yeah.
If we were still in the Jeep, I would have a headache right now. Probably would have been dripped on from the leak.
Yeah, because last year, I think we were three parking lots down. They didn't want that Jeep.
I think if we pull in and, you know, in the car, in the Cadillac, they'd just let us go by. But everyone had to stop and ask us who we...
Yeah, Handcraft was getting off at the front door, and we were in seven parking lots away.
Well, Fred actually had to pull the "don't you know who I am?"
You have to ask that question, why Dan Kraft is in front?
I thought you were sort of a Kraft.
Yeah. All right, well, Gary's out there. He's going to grab some players for us, and... you're hearing this on Wednesday,
right?
We recorded this on Monday, so the players are back from New Orleans.
Gary said
goodbye to Marquise Hill, and this is sort of an event. Usually this event came in the past right after the first mandatory minicamp. This year they changed it up a little bit, and they had this event before the first day of minicamp.
It's a nice touch, too. I like it.
Yeah.
I think they actually started it like this last year. But you are right. It's normally minicamp, then the golf tournament. Then the players kind of have their really only freedom.
Right.
Right up until training camp.
Right.
I think it's a good switch, you know, having the tournament first.
Yeah.
End up with the minicamp. And we'll have that Tuesday through Thursday. We'll have plenty of...
Well, it doesn't matter because people are listening to this on Wednesday.
That's
so
true. Well, so this afternoon and tomorrow...
Yeah.
We'll have the rest of our core.
If you've downloaded it, it's probably too late.
But as people listen to this, they've already been reading and seeing things from minicamp.
Yes.
So
now all the players are here, correct? Everybody.
I think most of them.
Every player is required to be here. They're not required to play, but they're required
okay.
to be here.
Yeah.
And I just got
oh, yes, this is always fun. This is always fun. Andy was just handed the program for today's tournament, and usually there's some pretty cool prizes here. They've given away Bentleys, pool tables, big screen TVs, Mercedes-Benz.
Andy, what do you got over there?
What are the prizes today for the...
efforting to find that.
So now what do they do? They team up a player with a sponsor type thing?
Yeah, wow. Three sponsors with a player,
okay.
I think.
Is it a Jaguar now?
Huh? Is it a Jaguar? A Bentley again?
A Jaguar. So the first order of business is to find Rodney and find out if he's going to share the Bentley with me like he promised he would in the past.
Well, didn't he say you had to lose weight, though?
He said I would have to have a hard time driving around.
Right, right.
Well, he's winning the long drive competition.
Who, Rodney?
Oh, yeah.
That's
did he win it last year?
Yeah. Wasn't even close.
What's did I listen to the prizes? You sure you just didn't miss it?
I'll give it to Tom and he can look at it.
I don't
nice
see it.
Nice tribute to Marquise Hill, though.
Well, that was
so
good.
What do you get for a hole-in-one, Fred?
Well, you get a big prize.
Stuff. A prize.
Oh.
Here, you'll
yeah.
look
for
it, Paul.
All right, I'll check it.
It's huge. I think you don't get to own the Bentley. I think you get to lease it for a year, a one-year lease. Yeah. Two-year lease. Says the doctor.
Gary walking around aimlessly.
No, he's checking in to make sure EI has everything they need. <We're all set. laughs> Sorry, Gary.
By the way, they make fun of the producer on the Felger show. It's not funny. When they do EI, it's pretty good.
All right, now what do you got here, Gary? Gary's opening a folder and just walks away. I don't know what that means.
Oh, he's already flustered. He does have a
those are
his. Oh, no. Those all the papers.
A folder full.
Where's the intern?
You know,
where's
I can stop everything you've done and make you stay another 15 minutes, and or delete it all together and make you stay an hour on Wednesday.
Why don't you go give me a hamburger and shut the hell up?
But we're glad you're engaged. Congrats on that, by the way.
Does she have homework? Does she have
looking for the prizes?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Probably on the floor.
I'm going to go with young right. Andy here. I don't see any prizes in the book.
Why didn't they put prizes in the
book? Talk to your producer now who's running this, who wrote all this out.
Where did you write the... Doctor, where did you put the prizes? All we want to know is what the prizes are.
So we know it's pretty...
So we know they give away cool.
A Bentley, a Jaguar, and
yeah,
who,
cars.
What else? Any
other stuff?
Ten hours on
I heard
something.
One of them was a Hummer.
On a plane?
Yeah.
Who are the big sponsors this year that we need to mention?
Communication Technology Services, Covidian Healthcare, Suffolk Construction, Under Armour. I believe that's everybody.
Under Armour.
That's everything that's
Under Armour is probably supplying some cool stuff. Yeah. And Suffolk Construction.
They were those cheerleaders when we came in.
Patriots cheerleaders.
They were the Patriots cheerleaders?
Yeah.
No, they brought the Jets. They were actually the Redskins.
No, I thought they looked a little young to me. I like the crop. Good looking crop.
I know Suffolk Construction is the company that's doing the whole Patriot Place construction. So, okay.
Right, we also have some Movado watches,
cool.
Tag Heuer watches.
All right.
It's the only watch Tom Brady wears.
You guys see any players around anywhere?
I've seen a couple.
I've seen a lot. Yeah.
Oh boy, Gary's upset.
A bit flustered.
Gary's upset. He's, oh my
well, the
God.
Players were here, Fred, when we came in. They were checking in. And they left. Now a couple.
They saw us coming, and they just scattered.
Yes,
you know.
All right.
I don't have anything else to say.
Well, we're
Andy, what did you think of Randy Moss at a passing camp?
Let me look left, right, and around the corner before I speak.
He's not here.
Well, we can talk about that a little bit, Fred, can't we?
What's that?
We can passing talk about camp? The practice passing that we saw, the passing week. Camp.
Oh, sure, but yeah.
I was a little disappointed, I'll be honest. Last week when I spoke, we showed the video from the website that I was a little disappointed in, and last week's practice sort of re-emphasized that. I thought it looked a
you think
sluggish,
he's done.
Had some dropped balls. No, I'm not willing to go in that direction. It was the first practice in shorts, and it was what it was, but I kind of expected to be wowed, and you know everybody referenced his quotes from when he came that we're going to see things we've never seen before.
Well, you're not going to see it in the first passing camp.
Well, I saw from Wes Welker.
Wes Welker was phenomenal.
I think he's going to catch 120 passes.
Right,
yes,
right. I now believe you. He's going to be the best player on the
team. Wes Welker looked.
I never said that.
Wes Welker looked.
I said he'd be an important part of this team.
Well, as Paul pointed out, at practice, Wes Welker should look good in practice. That's a guy who tries.
That's right. That's correct.
If he's not looking good in practice,
Moss knows what he can do.
Right.
That's the kind of attitude I'm worried about.
I just
going to flick the switch on September 9th.
Look,
I can't do that.
As Andy and Tom said, it was a passing camp practice, and there's not a whole lot of importance, I don't really think, in terms of the grand scheme of things that you can take out of that. But as being the first chance for him to show himself to his new organization and his, the media, who are obviously in turn going to monitor his every move for the fans, I kind of agree with Andy a little bit. I was a little disappointed that I didn't see as many examples as the one we saw down the sideline with Torrie James, which was eye-opening. I mean, he wasn't going all out
all the time.
No.
Okay.
But when he did,
he was.
That could be a bigger problem if he wasn't.
Right.
If he was giving it his all, it doesn't happen.
But the play with Torrie James was exactly what we were hoping to see, a guy running stride for stride with a defensive back, and all of a sudden the ball's in the air and he's 5 yards behind the defender, and that was great to watch.
And someone said to me, well, maybe he doesn't care about what you think, sitting there at passing game, but what about, as Paul said, the teammates?
Right.
Don't you want to prove yourself to the teammates? Because, some people in that locker room have doubts. They're not all like, oh,
they
great. They have doubts. So you'd think that he'd want to come in and show, I'm here, I'm ready to go, like Wes Welker did.
So we're lukewarm, Fred. We're not going to jump on either direction.
Right, because this week at minicamp, he could just start blowing by people like standing still.
I mean, last week was essentially the first step going from the playbook or the chalkboard to the field. It's that first progression and learning. So it was what it was.
Okay.
But it wasn't all
eye-opening. How did Brady look?
He looks fine. He was Tom Brady.
Overthrew Garrett Mills in the corner of the end zone, blamed him for dropping the pass.
He did.
So we should be worried about that?
No.
We should be worried about Garrett Mills.
Castle threw the ball pretty well.
I said this when we were out there at practice. If you took those guys and did a blind taste test, if you will, you didn't know any of them, who they were, no jersey numbers, I think you'd take Matt Castle.
Yeah.
I think he's the most physically impressive.
And
Vinny Testaverde may be done.
It's done. Gutierrez looks a thousand times better throwing the football.
I heard Gutierrez looked pretty good.
He looks good. He's got a little bit of a funky throw.
He just doesn't have that arm anymore.
Gutierrez.
I agree. I thought he threw the ball reasonably well.
And PFW in Progress is going to start calling him Goots, just so you know.
Goots.
But Testaverde just doesn't have that arm strength anymore. His balls were fluttering. It took forever to get to the sidelines. So I think he's about done.
All right. So we got Goots and Gots.
And Kyle Brady looks good. Tom Brady really seems to look for Kyle Brady.
A menacing
quite
presence.
Often. And not just as a tackle. He was a big receiver run down the field.
Wow.
So,
not that I'm breaking any new ground here and saying anything, but wow, Adalys Thomas is a big athletic guy.
Yeah.
I mean, a very imposing figure on the football field.
Yeah.
Now, I thought he was over there.
What do you guys think?
To be honest with you, I wouldn't know if he was in.
I think the inside linebacker stuff is just because he's going to play there at times. Do you think he's going to start an inside linebacker?
I would be surprised.
I think that's because it's the biggest difference from what he's done. So you put him at the thing where it's the biggest change first. And then move him to the position he's more naturally suited
for. Because he was playing on the defensive line as well.
Right.
So they moved him all around.
They moved him all around in such
like
situations.
Like you said,
he knows
the outside spot.
What are we looking at over here?
I agree.
You're pointing.
I thought Moss looked phenomenal in his first practice.
There you go.
Yeah, Randy
he walked behind
I see Benjamin Watson. Now
Randy Moss just walked behind you.
Moss is right there, Fred.
Benjamin's going to be going to China at the end of this month.
Yes.
For us? For Patriots?
For the Patriots, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. What's he going to do there?
The world travel.
He's going to talk to the media there. He's going to visit. They're going to have a world or national flag football championship, so he's going to visit with the winning team. The
guy's never met a free trip.
Check out. There's a Reebok store. Ben is a Reebok client, so he's going to be checking out a Reebok store there and signing autographs.
Speaking of free trips, Colvin's here as well.
Yeah.
So he'll be in Beijing.
Fred, you missed it. He actually came up to, and there he is walking behind me. He came up to.
There he is, Rosie Colvin. Rosie, how you doing?
Yeah, if you come over, if you stick your head in, you're
the only player who openly solicits your head in.
Mic check, 1-2.
It's on.
Is the mic? Okay.
Is.
Yeah.
Roosevelt.
That's my man right
Should
there,
I sit
Rosie
down?
Colvin.
Go ahead, have a seat.
Well, the winner, winner's chair?
Well, usually you come
you
on.
You said he was going to win last year.
Yeah,
but they cheated me last year. They had some high school kid up there marking the balls, and he liked Rodney better than he liked me.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
That's how it works.
So
but this year,
guaranteeing victory in the long
I've already guaranteed. Oh. I guaranteed earlier, but we'll do it again.
Rodney
I guarantee I win the longest drive.
Playing.
I don't. It doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter.
Did last year.
Hey, Rosie, Tom and I have a bet about you this year.
What's the bet?
Based on the number of your sacks.
I'm betting that you get at least 10 sacks this year. Perillo does not believe in you. He said more like 3 or 4.
Yeah, because he's a hater, so I'm not worried about that.
Does not believe but, in him. You know,
I actually predicted 12, but the bet is 12.
I'm going to try to do my best with the help of my great coach, Matt Patricia, who just walked by, and my other D-line coach, Pepper Johnson. I think I can accomplish that. So,
he just came over and came right on the show.
No problem.
No one asked him. He just came in.
No problem.
When a guy like Adelius does come on the team, do you automatically start thinking about the opportunities that will open up for you because of his presence?
Well, I think anytime you bring, good guys in that can do things that are versatile and that can create mismatches for offenses, it does wonders for everybody. So, you look at what Seymour does for Vince, what Vince does for Ty, what Ty does for Mike, what Mike does for Teddy, what Rodney does for, the possibilities are endless. So I think the best thing we can do is just continue to work hard, try to get the defenses down that we're running this year and, play the best of our abilities and lay it all online.
Yeah.
Along those lines, are you as excited as the fans? Because they look at a team that was a minute away from a Super Bowl and have added all these players in the offseason, and fans are just sky high right now. Yeah. Are you as players the same way?
I think, every time I take some time off at the end of the season, regardless if I've been here when we won the Super Bowl and we haven't won the Super Bowl. I've been in Chicago when I haven't, qualified for the playoffs and we've qualified. Anytime I take some time off, I get excited just because it's something new. It's different. And each and every year with whether it be new coaches, you're obviously going to have a new team because you got new players coming in. I get excited about it. To get the opportunity to play with guys like Adelius, to play with Junior again, to play with Rodney again, to see guys like Randy Moss, to see Dante Stallworth, Richey Caldwell, Kevin Faulk, Tom on the other side of the ball, I'm excited. And it had nothing to do with them being Patriots. I'm excited about playing football, period, and hopefully we won't disappoint ourselves this year.
Sorry, but when you get a guy like Randy on the field, obviously – we're very excited to see a guy with this kind of ability. Do you, as a defender, kind of stop and get caught watching him a little bit, or you're so far by that?
Again, it's not Randy, it's not Dante, it's not Tom. I'm a fan of football, and so I think this will be my ninth season. My previous 8 years, I've always watched the offense because if they do well, then it helps out the team. So I'm excited to see guys play well, regardless of what your status is, how long you've been here, what position you play. I'm hoping that you do well, because if you do well, then we do well, and hopefully I can do my part in helping the team do well.
What was your thoughts on draft weekend when you heard that they had traded for Moss? What was your initial thoughts?
Well, I didn't think it happened to the second day, right? So
right.
I think, again, it's just another opportunity that Scott and Bill felt like they could, get the team better. I think, obviously, you see we didn't win the Super Bowl last year, so we weren't good enough, and so you got to do things a little bit better, things a little bit differently, and that's a part of the puzzle.
Is there pressure with the expectations? Because I don't think you could find a fan, a media, another team that wouldn't say right now the Patriots are the front runner, they're the favorite.
Well, regardless of what you guys say, we have to ignore that and just do what we need to do. And
has Bill already told you guys that?
Well, I mean, not just this year, but it's been every year since I've gotten here. It's been, don't worry about all this, don't worry about all that. What you need to worry about is doing your job. And Bill hasn't wavered. He's been the same guy since I met him in 2003, than he was yesterday, and I'm assuming he's going to be today. So, I think that's the benefit of being here in this organization with this coach. You know what you're going to get. You know what to expect, and not just from the coaching staff, but from the older players too. You come in this locker room, be ready to work, be ready to win some games.
Rosie, once this mini camp is over, what's your plans? You're going to be sticking around? You're going on a little vacation?
I'm sticking around. I have some events back in Indianapolis that I have going on. Actually, I'm glad you guys asked, because it gives you an opportunity for free publicity and advertising. I have offense defense camp that's in July at Bryan College that I do every year. But I'm also helping offense defense out in Indiana. So I don't know if you guys reach out to Indiana, or if some people are going to be in Indiana.
We have a lot of fans.
We're doing offense defense football in West Lafayette, Indiana. So I'm going back to Purdue for that. The 21st, I'm being given an award from the National Football Foundation, the Northern Indiana chapter. I'll be there on the 21st. And then the big thing is I have a charity basketball tournament that I'm throwing on the 23rd and 24th of June in Indianapolis. We're trying to raise funds for my high school, Broad Ripple High School, for the athletic department. We're trying to give a couple scholarships away for a couple 2008 graduating seniors and a local charity. So if anyone would like to sponsor the event, if they would like to donate towards the cause, they can go to my website, R59.com. It's on there, right on the front, R59 Shootout for 2007, and hopefully we can raise some money and give back to the community. A lot of guys are doing that, as you saw with Kevin's softball game that he had about a month ago, and so just trying to do my part in the inner city in Indianapolis because it's a big part of who I am.
Nice, R59.com.
There you go.
All right.
Right on the front, R59 Shootout, so we're trying to get it done.
All right, so what's your strategy in the rain today? You got any?
Actually, I play better in the rain, and so because it makes my ball move a little bit more easier. It doesn't stick. It's like playing off mats, so just hit them long and straight is what I'm looking forward to.
All right, well, thank you, Roosevelt.
No problem.
Thanks,
all
right,
Roosevelt.
That's
long ball champ, 12 and a half sacks right there, Roosevelt Coleman.
All right, Tom Casale. Good luck with that. Making the rounds.
You're going to need it.
What was that?
Well, I said good luck with that, Pat. You're going to need it.
You know, I know that, you know, they made a special thing this year, and they do it every year, but this year, don't listen to the hype.
Right.
You know, but you
it's
know what's
kind of why I was
there.
Going down that road.
You know,
but.
Well, I was just going to ask a follow-up, but just, you know, how funny it is that it's almost a complete role reversal, because it's always, and you know that it's not something they're going to publicly say, but, you know, internally, it's we don't get the respect.
Right.
Now it's totally the opposite this year. Don't believe the hype.
Right.
Well, I hope Rodney comes by, because we need to ask him that. Right. How do you get it out?
Well, he personally has, everybody thinks he's done. So that's his individual motivation.
Yeah,
no
right.
one believes he can stay healthy, play six. I mean, I've written it 10 times. You can't count on Rodney Harrison to play a full season.
Right.
So he's got that personally. I'll bring it up. I mean, it is what it is at this
but
point.
I think the funniest thing of this whole thing is, you know, next year when he doesn't win the long ball competition, Rosie's going to blame the rain.
Right.
Well, it was raining last year.
Right. But I thought you said your ball went further.
Well, he'll forget about that.
That's what he does.
He'll hit a bomb and it'll stick in the middle of the fairway.
Right.
Blame it on the mud.
But I think, though, that... Don't you think, though, a guy like Colvin can only benefit from a guy like Thomas?
I think,
you know,
yes.
With the attention that he's going to attract.
Yes.
You know?
Certainly with a guy, too, with his versatility, because we know Rosie has one thing in mind.
Right.
He's rushing the passer.
Well, you know,
you have to find
I really
Thomas.
Didn't want
to... You have to find
right.
where he's lined up.
You know,
what is he going to do?
I was thinking, I didn't want to bring it up because I didn't want to disrespect the current core of linebackers, but Rosie's got to be thinking back to when he was with Chicago about the talent that they had at linebacker and how it helped him become such a valuable free agent.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the same scenario now. Now, you know, he's not the leading guy that's going to get to the quarterback. Now it's Thomas. So,
but he'll benefit from that, and he could end up being the leading guy to get there.
Right, exactly.
Without the teams focusing elsewhere.
It's almost like the defensive version of what we're talking about with Wes Welker.
Yeah.
You
right.
know, when you bring in
exactly.
you know, these playmakers.
Rosie,
all
he compared
place.
You to Wes Welker.
No. I'm saying well, you know, Fred would think that's true. That's an insult the other way.
You know, you guys can make fun of me all you want.
But I don't mean
we
that.
Do.
But I'm just saying
we will.
When you bring in talented players across the board, you can't account for everybody. So people are going to get opportunities. And
right.
Tom thinks Rosie's going to be the guy that gets a lot of opportunities. I think that's a rational way of looking at it. I don't think that's an insulting thing to anybody.
No.
I mean, just to say that
you
the
just
talent,
don't think he's any good.
I just don't think he's going to get 10 sacks. And that doesn't mean he's not any good. I just don't think he's going to get 10 sacks.
Right. You know, the only thing that it hurts is when, like, in this team, when you're a receiver and there's so much talent, you got a guy like Brady who can spread the ball around, your numbers are going to go down if you were the guy on your other team.
He is indeed here, by the way. He just walked by the window I saw. So.
Moss? Cool.
No, Brady.
Brady.
Oh, Brady.
Oh,
he just walked by us, yeah.
Well, I would expect he would be.
Well, you never know.
Mandatory
sometimes.
Team event. All right. Well, what is that?
Player's longest drive.
What about it?
What's that now?
It's going on right now.
It's going on right now? The long drive?
All the players are right here.
I can't see it like last year.
Yeah, okay. Last year we were doing play-by-play of this.
Oh, they do it right at the first hole?
Yeah.
Don't they always do it right out here?
Yeah,
I mean, I know it was
so
a different course, but it's always right.
They do it so everybody can watch.
They kind of moved it because of the weather so more people could see it.
I can't hear you.
They moved it so more people could see it over here. They have some markers all the way out to the left.
So it's not on one of the holes?
No, it's kind of an abridged
like
setup
range?
Today. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, well, maybe we'll have a result. Or does it go on all day?
It's just going on
no, they
right now.
Play golf, right?
Yeah. They tee off at 11:30.
All
so
together?
This,
it's not a shotgun?
It is a shotgun start.
Shotgun start? Okay.
And the winner of the player's longest drive wins a gift card to the International Pro Shop.
That's it?
Okay, Fred.
Oh, come on.
No, let's not bash the sponsors. Come on.
What?
Don't bash the sponsors.
No, I know, but usually they get something really big, right?
Yeah, it's a $500 gift card.
Oh, man.
That's a nice gift.
Wasn't it a car last
year? Does Rosie know that? That's all he's competing for?
Well, that'll
for?
Be his excuse when he doesn't. Well, I didn't really want the
well,
gift
he'll sell
anyway.
It for 1,000.
Right.
Well, on that's just for that. The check prizes the for winning the tournament are
yeah,
much
do
better.
Still, do we have that yet? Did you figure that out?
Why don't
out
you
yet?
Run through those?
Yeah, why don't you know.
Or not.
You put it all together, right, Doctor? You put
I,
this whole
I wrote
tournament
the script.
Together?
I did. I yeah. painstakingly.
You're doing a fine job. Could explain the mass confusion all over the place.
So there's two courses. The third place winner on the, or fivesome on the Pines course, is taking home a Big Bertha Fusion driver, which was donated by
what?
Callaway.
They get a future draft pick? What did you say?
Big Bertha Fusion driver.
Okay.
And a 200 gift card to the Boston Palm restaurant.
That's a nice restaurant.
Yeah, I like that place.
Second place is getting a George iPod docking station, which was donated from a...
No, the George docking station.
He's like one for six.
You don't know about
this. No, I
don't. They're new.
I'm not rich.
I got it. No, I didn't have to buy it. I got it for free.
Oh, there's a shock. That's how you rich people work.
Was yours donated by Chestnut Hill Sound?
Yeah, because they actually looked for us to invest in them a year ago. So we met with them, and they gave me one of the first ones that they made.
And what does it do?
It's a system. You know the Bose thing?
Yeah.
Or the iHome where you put it, it's a clock radio?
Right.
Well, this is the same thing, but the sound is better. It's, you know, comparable to a Bose. But the front panel comes off and has its own stand that recharges it and by radio frequency syncs up with your iPod. So on this thing, you have full iPod control, plus it's a clock radio.
Oh,
so it's
okay.
Pretty cool.
Okay, I hear you.
They're headphones?
No, it's like a clock radio.
Oh, it's a docking station.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Keep going.
The first place winner gets a Tag Heuer watch from Hanoush Jewelers.
Those are nice.
What's one of those run you? A couple grand?
Yeah. I could use one of those.
Only and, it's free though, right?
The other course has pretty much the same prizes. Except the first place finisher gets a Movado watch instead of a tag.
Now, which one is the longer course?
Believe it is the Oaks.
And
that's
is that the
one
longest
with the
in the
longest,
world?
The par six. It's got a par six.
I think so. I don't have a scorecard. I don't get to play.
It's right here. They have a big poster above the bar of the whole course. Looks like number five is pretty
five
long.
Five looks pretty long.
Can you read that? It's over
Rodney
there on the
Harris
left, isn't
is
it?
Coming over.
Yeah.
In a minute.
Yes, it looks like Gary's.
Five is a par six.
And how far?
Okay, so we might be getting
we have
Rodney Harrison.
The reigning long ball champion coming over in a minute.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. But it's a nice course. It's remodeled by Robert Trent Jones.
Yes.
He's a very well-known architect.
Yes, indeed, he is.
And two courses here at Bolton. So if you're ever in the...
Where is Bolton?
Now, this is a private course, right?
I would assume so.
It's called the International Golf Club.
695 yards, that hole.
695?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
695
par,
yards.
Par six.
That's a long way.
Get there in three.
Yeah.
Seven
wow.
football fields.
Do they seven. This is where the they play that annual tournament now.
I'd have to use my
play
Pleasant
Valley.
Driver wouldn't be big
I think it's
me.
Moved here now. The it's really New England's only big tournament for the PGA.
What about the TPC, isn't that?
What's a TPC?
In Norton.
Oh, Norton?
They yeah. park at the stadium.
This isn't the one for that.
Oh, this isn't the one?
No.
Is
okay. a TPC in
now I know why
has.
The fans love having
Fred
host.
There used to be one in Pleasant Valley every year.
Hey, yes. What a clown.
Where did that
all right, shut up, Fred. We got a
yeah, we got a guest. You can stop talking.
Here.
Stop
the reigning now. Long ball champ here.
Yep.
How you doing, Rodney?
What's up, fellas? How
how's
you guys
going?
Doing?
Good.
So what are you going to win me this year?
I'm actually not participating in it this year.
Oh.
So I told you, Rosie has a chance to win the
that's
long ball.
Well, I have four or five guys actually pay me off not to do it.
Rosie was one of them.
No, we know Rosie was it.
I can hit my three wood longer than he can hit his driver.
I missed that.
So, what's going on, fellas?
No, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine, actually. Overall, I'm doing good. Hanging out, ready for this mini camp, get it out the way, and go home and chill.
And then you're going to go home, take a little break before the real stuff starts?
I'm too old to take a break. You always got to work out once you reach my age. You just keep it going.
Yeah.
So, how are you feeling?
Everything I feel good. I'm ready,
good,
to go.
Ready to go.
Feel good. I mean, I haven't felt this good in a couple of years, so I'm excited. Energy's there, the excitement. Bunch of new guys, so I'm really anxious to get it going.
We were talking about it earlier. You, are a guy that stays very well motivated, and, you know, if you're disrespected, you can kind of put that to use sometimes. Do you see where people say, well, it's hard to count on Rodney Harrison? He's had a number of major injuries the last couple of years. Do you use that to fuel you in the offseason?
I really haven't heard that because I don't really pay much attention to the media aspect of that. But, I mean, it's certain things you can control and certain things you can't control. I can't control guys running into my legs.
Right.
And I can see if I was hurt due to lack of conditioning or not being in great shape. But I was hurt because guys ran into my knees, and that can happen to anyone. So as far as that, if they say they can't count on me, what's important is Bill Belichick and Mr. Kraft looked at me and said, we want you back, and we know that you can contribute. We know what you can do. And more importantly, I know what I can do. I can play football, and hopefully things go well for me where I don't have any injuries, and I'm just doing my best out there.
We were talking with Rosie, and we're discussing how you guys are the clear-cut favorites by the media and the fans to win the Super Bowl. How do you approach that? Do you kind of push that back in your mind and not think about it?
Well, I mean, regardless of what you guys pick and what the media picks, you still have to go out there. You have to practice. You have to put things together. And you can't get caught up in the hype. And that's all it is hype. You know, it's just a matter of opinion. You got to go out there. You got to play. I mean, everyone's, you know, saying that we're going to win and Indianapolis is going to win. It's between us two. But, you know, you have 28, 29 other teams out there that probably think differently. So we'll see what happens when the season starts.
Ronnie, you brought up the situation in Tennessee, you know, with the receiver diving into your legs. Did you get it? I know you were very upset about it at the time. Have you gotten a chance to talk to anybody from the Titans? Jeff Fisher, I know, has talked about it a little bit. Have you personally talked to anybody from Tennessee?
No, I haven't, and that's something that I'm putting behind me. Like I said, I felt like it was intentional. I felt like he came and he intentionally tried to take my knees out, but it's something that's part of the game. It's unfortunate part, but it's part of the game, and I'm not bitter. I'm not upset anymore at those guys. It's just something that happened. And of course, you work so hard, and you want to be a part of your team, and all of a sudden, some guy comes, and he takes you out, and you're not even part of the play. You get frustrated, but it's something I put behind me, and I look forward to this year.
You talked about not believing the hype, but at the same time, there has to be excitement. You know, this is a team that was a minute from a Super Bowl, and you got all these new faces, Adalys Thomas and Randy Moss and Wes. There's got to be some excitement for you as a player.
I mean, it's excitement, but, I mean, we won championships without those guys. So, I mean, they're just pieces to the puzzle that we feel like that can improve this team, that can help this team get better, and that's our main objective. I mean, we can't look at the playoffs, the Super Bowl, until we go out there and play the Jets week one and San Diego week two. We have a heck of a schedule. We're excited about it, good opportunity for us. But at the same time, we got to understand that we have a long way to go. We're just in mini camp right now, so we'll see what happens.
Speaking of additions to the puzzle, first impressions of Brandon Merriweather for you?
He's a nice young kid. That's it. Okay. He hasn't done anything. What can you say? He's working hard. He's trying to learn the system, and he's working hard in the weight room. And until he goes out there and proves himself on the field, what can you say? He's a nice kid.
that helps, being a nice kid.
Yeah. He's a nice kid. I mean, I've had some interaction with him, and you know, he wants to learn. He tells me he wants to learn, and I tell him just stick around the right people, and you'll learn a lot. And just you know, be a good citizen, work hard, do your job.
Right.
Rodney, you once said that you would never want T.O. on your team. What did you think when they signed Randy Moss, and how was that situation different?
Well, Junior, excuse me. But anyway, you know, Randy was a guy that, I mean, obviously he's talented, very talented, and you never know what goes on in situation in other teams. And I can understand why he was so frustrated in Oakland because, I mean, they're not winning. A lot of guys quitting out there. But at the same time, you know, he's my teammate now. And I expect him to come in and work just as hard as myself and the rest of these guys and be a major contributor on our team. So he's part of the team. And if Belichick and all other upper people upstairs say that, you know, he's the right fit for our team, you accept him as a teammate. And you go out there and you try to win ball games with him.
Now, if someone like that does come in, a veteran like that, and doesn't work hard, do you, the players, go to him and say, that's not how we do it here?
Well, I don't think we really have to say too much anything. I think coming in, I think he's done a tremendous job. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and play coach or devil's advocate, but at the same time, he's doing his job. He's working hard. He was in the weight room early this morning. being a professional, we had some conversation, and it was a pleasant conversation. I have no ill will against the guy. I respect the guy a heck of a lot. He's one of the best receivers I've ever played against.
It's another year and another golf tournament, and there's a overlying, I guess, contract negotiation with Asante sort of in the air, like Dion was last year, previous years. Your thoughts on that situation and Asante, and whether I'm sure you hope he'll be here once the season starts.
Yeah, I think he's one of the best young corners in the National Football League. We wish you to have him here. Definitely when you have him in your secondary, it's definitely an added plus. I mean, you're that much better, but at the same time, you have a business aspect of it, and you have a friendship aspect of the whole thing, and you understand that both sides, they have to agree on something. That's something they have to work out. Asante's been in the game long enough where he knows exactly what he wants, and he knows that it's a business. It's not personal, because everyone around here likes Asante, so we miss him. We wish that the two sides agree to something, and we wish to have him back.
All right, well, Ronnie, you got to get out there and warm up, I guess. That's what Gary says or something. I don't know.
And who knows? If I get hurt again, maybe I can be a professional golfer.
Oh, well, we appreciate you stopping by. Good luck today.
Yeah, we don't want to see that.
You know,
thanks,
in the season.
Paul. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
Good luck.
Guys.
Rodney Harrison.
Appreciate
it. Rodney. Thank you, man.
Take care.
Thanks for letting Rosie win.
He won't win. I'll put money on that.
All right. All right, that's Rodney Harrison. He's ready to go. Feeling good.
Yep. Looking.
You know? And I think he would tell you.
He hasn't read any of my stuff. Yeah. That said, you might not want to count on him.
Yeah, you know what I think is interesting about that, though, Fred, like as a fan? You see him on the field, and he's such a tenacious player. He's so vicious. Then when he's sitting here, he's like the nicest guy in the world.
Right.
And so I think that's one of the more interesting things I've seen since I've been here.
Well, yeah. These guys, they are different guys when they're some of them. Know how to turn it on the field and turn it off.
I remember when he came, Tom. I mean, you remember him when he was at San Diego,
yeah,
and how he played. I hated him. I couldn't stand him. He was one of those guys that the way he played.
He's like Danny Ainge.
I just didn't like
with
the way
talent.
He played.
Well, yeah, I'm just talking about
that's a slap in the face for him.
But when he came here, and I told him that, you know, I was like, you know what, when you were all those years you were in San Diego, I never liked you, but I can't believe how different you are from your on-field personality. And, you know, now you look at it, is there a better guy to talk to
in
the locker room?
He's the best.
He's the best.
I thought it was interesting, his response to Brandon Merriweather. It's like, he's a nice guy,
I did too.
Period. And I think all these rookies get treated that way. It's just like, look,
especially
you've done nothing.
Like,
you have done nothing until you've done it on this team. It doesn't matter what you've done prior to this. And I think that's good. You got to knock these guys down and then build them back up again. That's the only way they're going to do it. Hey, all right. USC's finest.
That's right, baby.
Matt Castle, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, good.
Red Sox top in the USC hat.
Hey, you know, you got to represent. You got to represent. Little SC, never hurt anybody.
Well, Matt, this is the gang from PFW. You probably know these guys.
He got my computer or my iPod or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got the computer and the iPod,
so
probably.
You have the Red Sox top on, but, you know, another quarterback on this team made a lot of noise for
yeah, this is a statement.
He's trying to make it up.
Learn
make
from
up
people's mistakes. That's what I've been told. So
sucking up to the fan base.
Huh? Hey, you better believe
what
it, right?
What kind of golfer are you, Matt? Should we be worried about you in the
driver? Well, I just hit one, and I'm 282 right now. I'm sitting at 282.
Oh, nice.
So somebody's got to come get me. Well, I was the first hitter, so we'll see what happens.
Oh, okay. 282, though.
I figured if I went first, I held the first place spot for at least one
good
guy.
Job,
right?
Yeah, you got the current leader.
That's not bad.
The current leader. It's huge. It's huge.
And Rodney's not playing in it this year. So.
You know, that's what I told him. I'm like, does Mayweather come to the fight and just hand over his title to De La Hoya? I mean, he is the current reigning champion.
Well, he said three or four guys paid him off not to play.
Yeah, right. I told him. I said, you know what? You're just giving up just because he can't hit it right now. I said, you know, there he could strike one nice.
Yeah, I mean, 282 in the rain, that could hold up.
Bad.
You never know.
I know. I tell you what, it's unbelievable. I can't believe he's not out there hitting the ball today.
So how so far did the passing camp go for you? And, you know, how are you looking forward to this mini camp?
Passing camp's going well. We're all out there working hard, trying to get better. And, you know, we're just out there with the new guys trying to get the rhythm down and get some chemistry with these new receivers that we got, because we have a lot of them. And, but the team's doing well, and we're out there, like I said, just day to day going out trying to learn the new system for a lot of these guys. Excuse me, and work hard.
Man, you love practice, don't you? Because we were talking about, we were out there passing camp. You're hitting a guy for a touchdown, and you're pointing at the sky and yelling and screaming. You really like it out there, don't you?
It's fun. You know, if you can't have fun at what you do, then you shouldn't be doing it. And I love going out, just playing football. You know, that's what I do. That's the passion that I have for the game. And, you know, going out even to practice is fun for me. And I try to enjoy it. And because I think if you're not having fun doing it, then it puts a lot more pressure on you. So if you can have fun while doing it and go out and execute, it adds to the fun of playing professional sports.
I know you were waiting for our critique, and you know we were very high on what we saw on Thursday. We thought you threw the ball exceptionally well, so I know you're waiting.
Oh, thank
for
you.
That.
Yeah,
but how much
can sleep now?
How much more comfortable do you feel?
Well, you know,
at this point,
right? It's the third year in the system, so obviously there's going to be strides that I made from year one to two, and now two to three, and I feel very comfortable about where I'm at right now. But there's obviously a lot of improvement. We've gone back, watched film, and I've talked to my coach and Ms. McDaniels, and we're trying to, you know, just kind of tone in and tighten up the screws and work on different things in which I can do to improve my game and take my game to the next level.
Do you worry at all about never really getting a chance?
You know, I can't worry about that stuff. Unfortunately, up to this point, I haven't had my chance, you know, and I've played sparingly, and when I've had the opportunity, I think I've done pretty well. And the minute you start worrying about that and stressing out, it's going to be take away from what you're trying to accomplish. And I think eventually it's just going to have to happen, you know. And I think if I keep putting myself in the right position, if I keep learning from guys like Tom Brady and Vinny Testaverde and the guys that I've played with like Doug Flutie, and just try to take as much away from them as I can, that when my opportunity does come, then I'll be ready to go.
When a lot of off-season signings in the wide receiver position. So when you sign a guy like Randy Moss and Wes Welker and Dante Stallworth, do you immediately start as a quarterback thinking, oh, these are the additional things we'll be adding to the playbook? Mm-hmm. You know, do you start thinking about those things that maybe those guys will open up for you as a quarterback and in the playbook?
Right. You start thinking about the weapons that you have and how you can work them and integrate them into the playbook and how you can take advantage of different aspects of their game that will help us eventually be successful. And so one of those things is every guy does things that's unique to their type of play and everything. And so we just have to go out and find what those things are. And I think that's what we're doing right now in passing camp, is seeing what their strengths and weaknesses are and see how we can utilize them within the offense.
Matt, do you get a lot of time with those guys? We hear like Tom Brady has to develop good chemistry with Moss and Stallworth and Welker. Mm-hmm. Do you get to throw to those guys a lot as well?
Definitely during this period of time, I throw with them every day. So, I mean, between the ones and twos and threes and how that all operates throughout the course of practice, it really, you're working with all the guys. So there's no real set spots. When you get in the season, though, the reps start to go down a little bit because obviously they need to get these guys ready to go. And that's, you know, the struggle, and that's a tough part about being the number two quarterback, is you go in week after week mentally getting prepared and ready to go, but you just don't have the physical reps.
As a quarterback, what was your reaction when you heard about Randy Moss? Because he's a sort of a lightning rod. People know him as maybe one of the greatest receivers of his generation, but
right.
Also he's had his struggles, and you know, he takes plays off and all that stuff. What was your reaction?
My reaction was excitement. I mean, I think he adds a lot to the team, and I think all these guys that we've gone out and added throughout the offseason are going to help us in many different ways. And so Randy was just another addition to what we're ready to do here in New England and with the receiving core, and I think he fits well in what we're trying to accomplish.
Is there ever a worry of how he'll fit in, if he could, you know, disrupt the apple cart, per se?
I don't think there ever has been, you know. I think, as we've done in the past, we just go about our business as we go about our business, and we let those things kind of take care of themselves, and we hope that, you know, we won't have any problems, and we'll just go out and try to execute and be the best that we can be on the field.
How's the SC going to be this year?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
We're ready to rock and roll again.
Okay.
You know, after that big Rose Bowl victory over Michigan, might I say that's Tom Brady's alma mater. And I did win a nice bet off him. But, no, I think we're going to be strong. We got a lot of guys coming back. We lost a few offensive linemen, but John David Booty's coming back and a few of the receivers. And so we're going to have a great defense as well. It's going to be hard-pressed to beat us.
Do you ever go back and, like, visit the team in the locker room? Have you met Pete Carroll and all that?
I've seen him. I go back a lot in the offseason because
yeah.
I'm in Los Angeles. And so I'll go back and I'll work out, and I'll visit with him from time to time and a lot of the other players. So it's good to go back and see those guys.
Yeah, Pete's a good guy.
He is. He's a great guy, and he's done a great job with that program at USC.
Yep. All right. Anything else, guys?
No, I think he needs to go see if he's still in first place.
Yeah, Matt,
why
don't
you go check the standings? We appreciate you coming by.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you,
Matt.
Thank you very much. Good luck this season. All right, that's Matt Castle.
It's quite a crowd out there surrounding.
You know, according to you guys, he looks pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Phenomenal. He's got great physical ability.
Yeah?
I always was wowed by his physical talent, even when he was a rookie. You know, when he came in throwing the ball, Andy and I would talk about how you know, how well he moved around. He was a very athletic looking
guy.
You
look the part. We always say that about receivers, quarterbacks. Looks the part first.
But now on Thursday, last Thursday, when we were out there for practice, he not only had the raw skill, now you can see the systematic approach to it that, you know, I'm not saying that on the level of Brady, but, you know, the ball is getting out of the hand on time where it's supposed to go. And you can see the difference between he and Tom as opposed to Matt Gutierrez, who's, you know, taking his first reps ever in this system.
And Matt says all the right things about, you know, being a backup, you know, and not really worrying about getting your chance. But as a player, you've got to be thinking, wow, you know, I feel myself getting better.
Right.
But the only way you can ever prove that is when you get your chance to do it in a game. And, you know, so he must be just chomping at the bit. To
do that, you're sort of wishing ill will on your best friend or
on
your best friend. You're saying, broken leg.
And that's why I asked the question, and I didn't specifically want to say, you know, have you thought at all about becoming a free agent, because I know what I was going to say that. But I think you could kind of infer, based on how we answered that, is all he can do is continue to do what he's doing, and then he'll get his – it's almost inevitable he'll get his chance.
Well,
and I
get that.
Well, you
I
think that put on your GM hat, put on your Scott Pioli hat a little bit, and, you know – you know, you want to leak out these stories of how he's improved and really, you know, really accepted and really truly is the number two guy in here and is very close to, you know, being a starting type caliber player. You want those stories out there so that the year before he goes to free agency, you start thinking about maybe we should trade him now and get some value.
I don't think anyone's going to trade
for
him.
I don't think there's much value
for him.
He's never done it in a real game.
Right. Plus, you can look at it both ways, too, Fred. If you think that he is a valuable guy to have as your backup quarterback, then you maybe you don't want to generate any extra interest. There's going to be some interest in him. He'll be a restricted free agent after the season. There'll be some interest in a young guy like that, especially if he has another good preseason.
Yeah.
On the field, like Andy and Tom said. He's never done it on the field, really. He played that one game against Miami, which was not really a
right, which they wanted to lose.
and he played reasonably well that day. I mean, not great, but reasonably well.
Until the ball got slippery at the end there.
Yeah. There was a little moisture on the ball. But until he has those reps under his belt, I don't see anybody really giving much in terms of compensation.
Well, the Patriots certainly feel confident in him and the fact that they really haven't gone out and trying to upgrade the number
two. They? That's where, funny, you get the end of last year. But last year, why'd they bring in Vinny Testaverde? That's where I kind
of
wonder what.
More of insurance, more of a guy in the locker room type thing. From what we saw from Testaverde, if he had to play six games, there's no way. The Castles is the quarterback for those six games. It wouldn't be Testaverde.
Well, and I'm actually, you know, I mentioned practice, how he had fun. I'd be intrigued to see him play for 3-4 weeks. Not just mop-up, but, you know, if he knows he's starting for a month, how he'd handle it. I think he'd have a lot of fun, you know, assuming they can be successful and do some winning.
Yeah, he may not.
But, I mean, I think you'd see a guy that would genuinely enjoy that time at the utmost, knowing this is his time.
Right. And plus, he didn't take that normal route.
Right, he's never
here.
Been the star. You know, I mean, in high school, obviously, but, you know, it's been a long time since he's been the guy.
We were talking about Rodney. He's another great guy. Always in the locker room.
No question.
Very few more likable guys than Matt Castle. Yeah. And, you know, that's probably part of the reason that he's able to stick, you know, and do that stuff. Because he's you know, he mixes in with the system. He's not, you know, one of these guys that's demanding playing time, not happy with his role. I would think some young guys.
Like some quarterbacks from Natick?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
You know, frankly, and, you know, you could probably also put my guy in that he had no interest in being a backup. I know it's a totally different situation being a veteran, but I think that some guys drafted out of college might not be willing to go to a team that has Tom Brady on it and do the best they can. They might look at it and say, well, geez, I'm never going to play behind him.
Right.
Get me out of here.
But he had a unique situation in that, you know, he was a backup in USC, too, so... It's very interesting that what they saw in this guy when they drafted him. A lot of people were wondering why they drafted him. You know, he never really played. He was always backing up, you know, two really good high profile quarterbacks now in the NFL. And now here he does it again. But, you know, we'll see. Someday this guy could emerge and become a starter in his own right.
It'll be interesting to track him.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to track.
Because he's going to bounce around for a while. Even if he leaves here, he's going to be around just because of the potential, because people will see what we see, that he has the physical tools and has never had the chance.
Yep. All right, so when Kyle Brady was out there, you're talking about how he looked
and
really
when
good.
And he walked behind you, and he's the biggest guy in the world.
Yeah.
who was throwing to him at the time?
Brady
was throwing
Brady
to him.
Brady to Brady. Yep.
Okay.
But, I mean, the stories of him being a tackle, I don't even think do him justice, because – He's tall, enormous. But he's big. He's not fatty. He's, I mean, yeah, he's just a monster.
Mean. He's in great shape.
Well, he was like a Richard Seymour of the offensive
side.
He's
the number four overall pick.
I think he was number nine.
It makes you think that he's an even bigger bust when you see him in person because he should be dominating.
Yes,
absolutely dominating.
Unfortunately, it looks like he didn't take advantage of that physique. But I mean, he's impressive a figure as is on this team right now. And I should bring that up. We talked about it, Tom. When Richard Seymour spoke with the media last week about Marquise Hill.
That's a good point.
Mean, lean. Yeah. It looks like he has leaned down. His traps, his bicep, upper body strength looks phenomenal. Very impressed with how
what he looked like. As I've seen Richard Seymour in as a pro.
I think it's, you know what it reminded me of is when they drafted him and they brought him in. My first reaction was, oh, this guy's a defensive lineman.
Right.
This guy's lean. He's got a suit on, tail. He's back. I thought he got a little softer at times, and now he's lean again.
He looks fantastic.
Let's say it like it is. I know you guys got on me a little bit, the fans did last year, about the Seymour stuff, but he didn't have his kind of
He didn't have a great year.
The, well, he does this, he does that. He just wasn't as dominant as he was in the past, and he has come back, and it looks like he is ready to roll. And I, Andy, you said he may be the guy who gets the 10 to 12 sacks.
Right. You never know how as teams adjust to Thomas and all these different things. All of a sudden, he sneaks through. He's always a guy that's in that 6-sack, 5-sack range.
We say it every year. We
make sure it's something nice because Kevin Fox
is here. Oh, hey, 33's here. Hey, Kevin.
How you doing? How you doing?
Good.
I'm all right.
So you've been good?
Oh, I'm trying to be, you know. Yeah. Be just as good as you want to be.
How did your 33 event go?
Oh, it went well. I had great reviews from it. A lot of guys was like, man, when we go do it again? Because they actually had fun playing the softball, and they loved the food that we ate the night before.
Okay.
Spill it, because I saw some video of Ellis Hobbs swinging and missing. Was he the only one, or how many guys didn't look so hot on the softball field?
You know, we had a couple of guys that didn't look too hot, but I won't name any names. You know, I won't
Ellis Hobbs was on video swinging and missing at a slow-pitch softball.
I won't put him out the dry like that. Hey, things happen, man. It happens.
Buck flew in his eye.
I always said the first time that happens to me would be the last time I ever take a swing.
I actually played softball for a lot of years, and it's happened to me before. So, you know, I can put a little... You know, a little peanut butter on the floor.
All right, so Kevin, how's this, you were involved in the passing camp. How did that go for you? And are you looking forward to this mini camp coming up?
Oh, man, we're just looking forward to the season in general, you know, just trying to shape the team up, trying to get everybody, you know, on the same page and you know, just be a team.
Yep.
Do you look at the weapons they brought in offensively with Welker and Stallworth and Moss and Sammy Morris, and is there intrigue as to what this offense can be?
It's like any other year. You're always going to have new guys come in, guys that you feel could contribute to the team. But at the same time, you got to put it all together. And you got to go through those dog days in training camp, as they call it. And, you know, see what you got mentally as a team.
With Stallworth and Moss, big play type guys, do you look at that and say, you know, maybe I can catch a little 5-yard route and turn it up the field because the safeties are following Moss and Stallworth? Do you look at what that opens up?
You can look at it in so many different ways. You know, they as defenses, they have to actually respect, you know, the outside, the inside, as well as the running game. And they have to look at a lot of different areas for us now.
Kevin, with Corey Dillon gone now, how do you see this stable of running backs? You think Lawrence Maroney is ready to take that next step and be the star that they thought he would be?
If you tell him he's not ready, you might hear an earful, but I think he is. You know, yeah. Lawrence is a great guy. You know, he's a great running back. It's just a chance of learning, you know, getting through that learning process and, you know, getting the feel for it, being mentally ready during the course of the year.
I know there's a lot of preparation, like you said. You know, you have to go through training camp in the dog days. But do you think potentially, you know, what Andy and Tom are saying about all these new guys, this could be the most talented offense you've been a part of?
If you want to say potentially, it could be. You know, it really could be. But at the same time, it could also be one of the worst, you know, if we don't work at it. If we don't continue to work during the offseason, the last couple of weeks we have left with the offseason program, when we come back for training camp, it can be. But at the same time, you know, you got to put in work for it to be that way.
We've asked a couple of the other guys that have been here, expectations. You know, pretty much everybody, power rankings, fans, everybody says the Patriots, team to beat. How do you react to that?
Paper. All it is paper, and all these people expecting things from us. If you don't put in the work, like we said earlier, the expectations are nothing for you. You know, if you expect to be what they say you are and don't put in work for it, you're going to be a bust. You're going to be something, you know, and that's what I love about Coach Belichick and the coaching staff. They're really on us, you know, about, hey, ignore everything else that's being said. You know, we know what we have to do. We have to put in work during the course of the season and the training camp.
Kevin, the the pain of that last loss against the Colts, is that still with you and the other teammates, or have you just put that behind you and starting fresh?
Oh, you have to put it behind you, because then you start worrying about things you've done before, and that's it. That's done. Once the game is over, it's over. You got to be ready to go next year, and you know you live to fight another day.
So you don't think about that sometimes and say, we're not going to let that happen again, or you don't use that as motivation at all sometimes?
You use it as motivation, but you're not going to look at it in a negative light.
Right.
You know, you're going to work hard throughout the offseason. You're going to work hard during training camp and mini camps.
All right, so how's your golf game?
Awful.
Yeah?
I graded like a F plus.
Well, at least you get the rain to blame it on today.
I wouldn't blame it on the rain. I'll just blame it on me in general. But I will look good out there now. I will look good.
All right.
Did you already hit your longest drive?
Nah, I just went warm up. I'm not going to show my drive yet.
No.
Show it during the course of the day.
Choose not to run.
Yeah.
So what do you do between minicamp and the season? That's really the only time that you guys get to kind of recharge a little bit. What do you have anything planned?
Pretty much just continue on working out. Try to stay on top of the off season program that we're going to complete and on the 22nd. But just stay in that level. Not lose a step, not lose any strength. From picking up weights, you just got to maintain. You got to be a professional about it.
Yep. All right. Kevin, we appreciate you stopping by. Good luck today.
Oh, thank you. We need more than luck today.
Good luck.
So you're the anti-Rosie. You set expectations real low. Rosie, tell us how good he is.
He's going to win everything. Yep,
yep, yep. And just watch. You're going to see where he winds up. Well, I appreciate y'all having me.
All right, that's Kevin Falk. We appreciate him coming by. All right.
One of the longer tenured Patriots now, Fred,
Yeah.
All right, take care of
Kevin. Kevin Falk.
What's that?
One of the longer tenured Patriots, Teddy Bruschi is probably the...
Because he's a yapper.
Yeah,
that's right. Troy Brown comes back, obviously he would be, but not too many guys been a Patriot longer than Kevin Falk.
Than Fred Kirsch?
Well,
I got a PFW feature. When Rosie leaves, we talk to his teammates and ask him, all right, give us some stories. And we call it, shut the bleep up. Because everyone we talk to makes it sound like Rosie's going to finish at the bottom of the leaderboard.
Well, I don't think he's a great golfer, Rosie.
No, he can hit it.
No, but what his trick is, he finds guys that stink and he surrounds them with so that he can always beat them. It's like me playing pickup basketball and only playing when I see guys that are
third
terrible.
Right.
Terrible. That allows you to be the winner, even though it's the king of the what.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up here at the International this year, the 2007 Patriots Charitable Foundation Golf Tournament. Always a big turnout, and it was this year as well, even despite the rain. A lot of umbrellas out there, guys ready to tee off. And we're going to thank Rodney Harrison, Roosevelt Coven, Kevin Falk for stopping by.
Matt Castle.
Can't forget
the backup.
And Gary Gradecki for putting it all together, even though we made fun of him before the show started.
Gary got the job done.
All right, so that's going to be it, and we'll see you next Wednesday, PFW in Progress.
The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
Here's a rush, got to be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren?
Got to be sacked for a safety.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points card and free Goal Line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Roosevelt Colvin, wow!
Patriots extra points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com. When you got a lineman size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and
hot sack attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CMS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday. Soccer fans, the 2007 CONCACAF Gold Cup is coming to New England this June. The best teams in North America, Central America, and the Caribbean will compete to bring home one of the most prized trophies in soccer. Tuesday, June 12th, the Gold Cup kicks off at Gillette Stadium with an opening round doubleheader featuring the U.S. national team against El Salvador, followed by Trinidad and Tobago and Guatemala. Plus, don't miss out on a soccer tripleheader on Saturday, June 16th, starting at 1 p.m. with quarterfinal matchups and the New England Revolution taking on their Eastern Conference rival, Columbus Crew.
Oh, he buried it from distance, Taylor Twellman!
Come watch soccer history in the making at Gillette Stadium and the U.S. national team's quest for the 2007 Gold Cup. For ticket information, call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS or visit Ticketmaster.com. CONCACAF would like to thank its official sponsors of the Gold Cup, McDonald's, Lowe's, Makita, Miller Lite, Puma, Sprint, and State Farm.
This is PFW in progress.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. To me, being a gangster was better than being president of the United States. To me, it meant being somebody in the neighborhood that was full of nobodies. They weren't like anybody else. I mean, they did whatever they wanted.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
He was one of the most feared guys in the city. I mean, he was first locked up at 11 and he was doing hits for mob bosses when he was 16. But what he really loved to do was steal. I mean, he actually enjoyed it. He was the kind of guy who rooted for the bad guys in the movies.
Paul Perillo.
In prison, dinner was always a big thing. We had a pasta course, and then we had a meat or a fish. Paulie did the prep work. He was doing a year for contempt, and he had this wonderful system for doing the garlic. He used a razor, and he used to slice it so thin that it used to liquefy in the pan with just a little oil. It's a very good system. There was Jimmy, and Tommy, and me, and there was Anthony Stabile, Frankie Carbone, and Jimmy Two Times, who got that nickname because he said everything twice, like...
And Andy?
And his guys, Frankie the Wop, Freddie No-No, and then there was Pete the Killer, who was Sally Balls' brother.
Andy Hart.
And then there was Mo Black's brother, Fat Andy.
Some guy named Tom.
Funny how. I mean, what's funny about it? Right. Funny how. Let me understand this, because I don't know. Maybe it's me. I'm a little f***ed up, maybe. I'm funny how. I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. How the f*** am I funny? What the f*** is so funny about me? Tell me. Tell me what's funny.
PFW in progress.
I'll go home and get your f***ing shine box.
DFW in progress here. Gillette Stadium. Very, very delayed opening here for the boys. We're in the middle of about 16 different things. I'm having all kinds of difficulties with the headphones.
Not the least of which is a tremendous spread of food provided by who, Tom? Tom's mid
The food
mid-bite.
From Tom's fan club has arrived.
Renee Hansen.
Renee?
Very, very big. Renee Hansen.
Well done, Renee. You're the best. Even though you like Tom, we can move past that because you sent the rest of us food.
Paul, Andy, and Tom with you. Fred, nowhere to be found. Actually, that's not true. I can't really throw Fred out of the bus. He actually is doing something very important, kind of exciting for us. We're shooting the cover for the yearbook, which will be obviously PFW subscribers. I already know about that because they get it every year as part of their subscription. But I'm not going to give away what the theme of the cover will be, but several prominent players will be featured on the cover of the 2007 New England Patriots yearbook. So right now Fred is efforting to get that photo shoot underway, and I think that's where he is.
Should be good. Should be a good cover.
And we are fresh off the field from minicamp.
Yes, fresh off of just bumping into Bill Belichick and Greg Schiano in the hallway as
Absolutely.
We enter the studios. Yes, that's Greg Schiano, head coach Rutgers.
PFW and friends.
But of course,
that up-and-coming football program.
Our listeners,
you know, Bill Belichick associates himself with losers. That's why he's talking to Greg Schiano. any our regular listeners know that Fred Kirsch thinks Rutgers has no chance of ever being a national
And power. Our regular listeners also know that
Fred is an idiot.
That Greg Schiano has been here all day because Tom had it up on our blog very early this morning, around 9 o'clock, 9:30?
9:30, yeah.
So, I mean, obviously our listeners were well ahead of the curve on that one because I know that if you're listening to PFW in Progress, then you're following the PFW blog online with minicamp information.
That blog's killing.
It's killing. It's killing on the internet. So, anyway.
It's cold out.
Day two of minicamp has been completed here. Randy Moss, how many people would you say? That might be one of the biggest media throngs around an individual player not named Tom Brady that I can remember.
And I was on the outskirts of it.
Oh, I'll say biggest on a guy not named Tom Brady
that
I've ever seen.
And apparently Randy Moss, not a Don Banks fan.
he played
Do you think that had
Don
something
Banks.
To do with the actual questioner and
well,
not
Don
just
Banks
the question?
Covered him in Minnesota. And so they clearly have
that's
a...
That's
true. Banks said
why don't you tell that story, Tom?
Well, they asked a bunch of questions, and the final question was by Don Banks, and he said, Randy, did the Patriots take a chance on signing Randy Moss? And Moss looked at him and said, all the questions were good up until now, and then he walked away, and Banks says he remembers me.
Right. Well, so, Banks covered him, I believe, for three seasons in Minnesota from, 97 to 99, somewhere in that phase. Obviously, Don Banks now works for CNN.com or CNNSI.com, does the Four Downs with Felger show, lives here locally, but is a national reporter. But obviously, they must have some sort of background.
Because he did look right at him. Moss looked right at him.
Well, see, I didn't get that part from the first time you told me the story, but that's definitely an interesting addendum to that story because I didn't think the question was anything that was too bad or, something that would bother Moss. I didn't think it was a particularly confrontational question or of any sort. So, obviously, there's something there with the background
from
Minnesota.
Yeah, you can tell by the look on Moss's face because Banks was behind him. So, Moss had to look back to see him, and he had that look on his face like, I don't really want to talk to you.
Go yourself.
And then he just walked away?
Yeah, just didn't say anything. He just walked out.
All right, so we wrapped up the golf tournament coverage in the first hour of the program here. So, second hour, we're taking your emails here, webradio@patriots.com.
This is a heck of a spread.
Again, webradio@patriots.com.
Phenomenal, Renee. Phenomenal.
Yes, Renee,
fan of the week, Renee Hansen.
Renee came through big here with a nice...
Fan of the 2 weeks, since no one brought us food last week.
A nice
fan
spread
of the month.
Here.
We'll give you June.
So, we are very much appreciative of that, obviously. A couple of days of minicamp now under our belts. I figure before we get to the emails, let's kind of... go around the table here, give us some of our observations, some of our thoughts. Obviously, Tom has been throwing up a lot of stuff that the three of us have kind of been,
that's pretty much all our thoughts. It's like when we're sitting out there, I'm just the one putting it out there, but we're all talking about it. So even though someone said Andy wasn't doing anything, he's not doing a lot, but I wouldn't say anything.
I'm the eyes. I'm the eyes here. I see things like Kelly Washington stinking on the football field.
Is Kelly Washington having a lot of trouble hanging out
with the
football?
He has really fallen out of favor with the PFW boys, really struggled today and... to the point where we
kind
now
of started
think that,
yesterday a little bit.
Yes,
and
he seems
worse.
To have question. I actually think both he and Stallworth have shown a little bit questionable hands, but Kelly Washington has flat out struggled, had drops, had others that zipped right through his hands.
Yeah, Stallworth has caught the ball, but not looked great catching it. Whereas Washington isn't catching anything.
Right, I thought you put Stallworth kind of fights the ball, but still ends up with it.
Yeah.
Moss catches the ball in the air with his fingertips, plucks it out of the air. Washington doesn't end up with the football at the end of the play.
Now, as our listeners definitely know, myself in particular, I have been very much on the Gaffney-Caldwell are the two guys that are fighting to make this team, whereas the newcomers like Washington, I had in a strict talent sense well ahead of those guys. Well, based on what I've seen in 2 days, I'm going to have to say that I was wrong.
It's early.
Caldwell has the lead right now.
That's why I said based
guys.
On these 2 days, they're just meaning, they're just
because Gaffney had a big drop too.
Gaffney hasn't looked great, but Caldwell's looked
pretty good.
Caldwell has looked pretty good.
He was good last year too.
I thought he had an excellent training camp, Caldwell. And then after that, it was a long time before he made much of an impact.
He is what he is though. He's not a number one receiver. If he's a number four, I think you're doing okay for yourself. And another guy struggling, Eugene Wilson. Woo-wee! Mm-hmm. Man, in coverage, got faked out by Wes Welker on a run after a catch. He slipped down. Nowhere's to be seen
another
in
time
coverage.
Appeared to be in position to make an interception and then just
oh, man, was
didn't.
That bad coverage. That was terrible.
He has struggled.
The play that you were just talking about there, Randy, was so bad. Wilson was so bad on that play, I really gave some consideration to thinking that he did it on purpose, because he went over there and looked like he was well in position to make the play, but was reluctant to go up and make a play on the ball because he surely would have made contact with the receiver, which you don't want to do.
In this case,
that's how bad the play was.
Could be.
If it wasn't on purpose, then you guys are right. I mean, Wilson, and I think a lot of Wilson too. It's not something I wanted to say. Well, geez, I told you I didn't think that guy could play. I think a lot of Eugene, and he has not looked sharp at all in the first couple of mini camp. Again, mini camp practices,
and he's still coming back from the hamstring. Maybe he's only at 90%, and he's working on his speed still. So, you know, you'll be able to tell more in training camp. But Wes Welker looks good. Moss looks pretty good out there, plucking him high and low.
I thought Moss
like
had his best day today.
Yeah, I thought Moss.
Each
was
of
most
the three times
today.
I've seen him, he's gotten more impressive.
Yes,
I would agree with that. I would agree with that, which lends credence to the theory that, he, you know, understanding where you are in the off season, it's not, you know, balls to the wall on every single rep. You know, Wes Welker has been a guy who's flying around everywhere catches. Randy Moss hasn't been doing that, but clearly you're seeing as the progression is being made, maybe that's by design.
And the other thing is, let's be honest, Randy Moss has so much more physical ability than Wes Welker.
Right.
He makes everything look easy. Like the catch he made today where they were doing the silent count where Brady fired it in, he just went down, snagged it,
right,
made it look like nothing.
That's the one thing. You can question whether he still has the speed, the quickness. You can't question his hands and his ability to flat out get the football.
Yeah.
And we talked about Stallworth a little bit in terms of his hands, but very, very impressive in terms of quickness,
oh, yeah,
speed in and out of his breaks,
right,
and cuts.
Very fast.
I mean, he is a level beyond what we're used to seeing.
Yes.
Should be an explosive passing attack. Now, the other thing is, and I said this to you guys earlier today, when Lawrence Maroney isn't on the field, I'm worried because they don't have the running backs to compensate for Maroney not being there. My guess is you will see Chris Brown in here at some point.
I would think it's something, because we've seen it even with Morris. You know, when I talked to him, whenever that was, a couple weeks ago, and he really sounded like he was Kevin Falk, passing game, all that. That's what we've seen from him. Mm-hmm. It's him, you know, with the screens. We've seen him even today. They went with a lot of spread formations with both he and Falk in the backfield. It's like they've added him as a new type of weapon to the offense, but he doesn't necessarily fill some of the roles they need. So, yeah, I think you're right. Whether it's Chris Brown or somebody else, there still seems to be an opening at backup running back.
Especially
that,
when
that
you
needs to be
factor
filled
in Maroney's.
Right. He was out there, but he wasn't doing anything. So, you know, who knows? And after last year with the three injuries and coming back and being tentative and all that, you got to have somebody. You can't go,
right,
you can't play without a net there. You got to have a net.
Yeah. And we should say that Maroney was on the field today, although not doing much of anything, as the guy, you know, Tom pointed out in the blog. He was not here yesterday. Well, not on the field yesterday. Today he was. When the practice got underway, it was kind of strange. He was in uniform, not in a red shirt or anything, in regular uniform just like everybody else. His helmet wasn't on very often. And he was actually, at one point, they were doing a drill where the ball was getting thrown around. He was fielding balls. When he was throwing them back, he kept throwing them back with his left arm, not his right, which, you know, presumably he had the surgery on the right shoulder. So
I heard some people say he throws like a girl.
Really?
Probably was using his, you know, off arm.
But were they saying, oh, so they were they not, they were making a joke. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Assuming that he was throwing with, you know, his healthy arm, his off, not his dominant hand.
Oh, okay.
And the best player on the field, and maybe pro football, is Adalys Thomas. He will go to 8 Pro Bowls, the Hall of Fame. That guy is an unstoppable machine.
You know he's like 35, right?
It doesn't matter. The guy is quick as a cat.
He does look good.
Big as a moose, and he's a tank.
Got any others you like to throw out there? Slick as a fish.
But ran stride for stride with Justice Hairston down the sideline, which is pretty impressive when you figure that Hairston is a rookie, a younger guy, supposed to be fast, quick. But Thomas, stride for stride with him, made Testaverde overthrow the pass. That was impressive. And when he blitzes, he gets in there.
By comparison, Teddy Bruschi had a number of chances to do the same thing and was 2 steps behind the running back.
Watch
that he
out,
covered.
Fred. Watch out for Teddy Bruschi. It looks like he lost another step from last year. So,
and
Fred Kirsch has joined us.
We just got through with our 2007 yearbook cover shoot.
That was quick. You did it.
Yeah, that was fast. Well, they've been working on the shot since 10:30 this morning. All the guys had to do was just...
They were literally there for 5 minutes?
Yeah.
That's great.
That's great for us to get them
That's
again
great.
In the future.
That's great. Yeah. I'll make sure I go over the top. All three of us will go over the top and thank him and tell him know, how great it was.
I won't give away who it is. I mean,
I didn't. I just told him there were some prominent players. I didn't tell him anything about what the theme is.
Yeah. But all it was the captains. But
evidently, Fred can't have a secret.
But I won't say what it is, what the theme is.
So. I won't say what it is, but it was Ernie Adams.
It's really good, and they were all very nice about it. So
were you happy? Do you think
it's
going to look
good?
And good.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm excited about this cover. And
yeah, we made it happen. Remember, you know.
Oh, I had my doubts.
You always have your doubts about everything.
Well, you know, I tend to look at things, you know, by the trends that are put forth. And
So how are we doing?
Good.
Good.
How was practice?
We'll bring you up to speed. Kelly Washington is now the guy we have getting cut because he can't catch the football.
Eugene Wilson struggling
in a contract year.
What do you mean? How do you know that he's struggling?
Because he's slow,
they're
Fred.
In shorts.
You can see speed. We can. Dante Stallworth is fast. Are you going to say Dante Stallworth isn't fast then because he's in shorts? Come on.
Maybe he's not 100% right now.
Well, we said
that's
that.
That's what we said.
Okay.
But either way, it's not
bad.
Good.
Okay.
Whether he's not, it's not good. But we can see when he's supposed to be covering someone, that person puts a move on him and he falls on his butt.
Yeah,
that's
not
good.
I don't want to see Rodney Harrison being faster than Eugene Wilson, because if that's the case, Eugene Wilson's going to have a problem staying on the
yes.
field.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
And Randy Moss started a fight with Don Banks, took a swing at him.
Really? With Don Banks?
Not a swing.
No, but Don Banks asked a question, and it ended the media
segment.
What
did he say? What was the question?
Did the New England Patriots take a chance when they signed Randy Moss? And then he said all the questions were good up until now and walked away.
Wow. Good. Now, where was
Keep
that?
In mind that they have Don Banks covered him for a few seasons in Minnesota, there's likely a track.
He probably
record
doesn't
there.
Like Don Banks.
Right.
But that Randy Moss thing was done right on the field after the practice.
Yeah, with about 8,000 media members.
Biggest cluster, you know what, that I've ever seen.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely a lightning rod. I mean,
I'm just saying it should have been a press conference.
He may be more popular right now than Tom Brady on this team as far as the media is concerned, you know?
Yeah, because you know Brady's not going to say
I think
it,
he absolutely is for that reason.
Yeah. So what else? Anything else good? Gostkowski rebound a little bit?
Yep.
How were the kicks?
That's all right.
A
little bit.
Yeah. Terrible on the onside
kick. He can't
kicks.
Onside
Awful.
Kick. We'll keep that in mind for down the road.
Again,
he cannot onside kick.
He could
kick.
Be trying a new technique. We don't know.
Yeah.
Well, could we'd be. Like to see the technique have the ball actually
I just think it's really...
Wes Welker looks absolutely fantastic. But again, he could be trying new things, so we don't know if that's going
to
translate to the regular
want us to
season.
Tell you the good things that we see.
Right.
So Adalys Thomas looks great.
It's really dangerous to jump to conclusions.
Now,
you're
asking us
what we saw.
In Fred's
we're
defense,
not jumping to conclusions.
In Fred's defense, we started off with the three or four things that were kind of on the negative side, whereas we already talked about three or four things that were like Adalys Thomas. Tom wants to date Adalys Thomas.
Really?
Best player in the NFL.
Okay.
8-time Pro Bowler, he's going to say.
All right.
He's big as a moose. And quick as a cat.
Cool as a cat.
Okay. I like it. I like it.
Slippery as a fish.
Richard Seymour looks slimmed down a little bit.
Well, we haven't
He's
seen
not
him.
Out there.
He was there. He was just
All
there.
Right. All right.
He wasn't at
Yes,
practice.
He is a captain.
Yes, right.
We told you that. We thought that he looked great.
Yeah.
He looks good.
Okay.
I mean, the team as a whole looks really good.
Maroney was out on the practice field, but didn't really do much in terms of practice.
That's okay. That's all right.
And we were discussing there's definitely still a lack of a backup running back.
Yes.
Sammy Morris,
when
big part of
the
passing
the field,
game, but
there's a big void.
Okay. What else? Anything?
Well, we can't say anything negative.
Logan Mankins jumped off sides during a 2-minute hurry-up drill, and Dante told him to get the bleep out of here and take a lap.
Right. What were they doing? Just passing drills mostly?
Please don't paraphrase what happens on the field.
Okay.
Mostly passing drills? Were they just doing everything? Or was it a
two-minute drill, stuff like that.
Yeah.
The red
it's mostly
zone.
Passing base because you can't run with no pads and, I mean, no contact.
Troy Brown out there?
No.
No.
Benny Testaverde still is.
Okay. And Moss, that's what I wanted to tell you guys. I kind of lost it after the Banks thing. Moss referenced Vinny Testaverde a couple of times. Like, I talked to Vinny, and someone asked him about the off-season program, how originally Belichick said he didn't have to be here. And Moss said, well, I called Vinny, and Vinny said all the guys were here, so I decided to come. So I don't know if he's got
Why is he talking to Vinny?
I don't know.
Maybe it's Vinny Serrato from the Redskins. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he meant Testaverde.
Can't be serious for 2 minutes with this guy.
Guys off the field, anybody talking about anything good coming off the field?
Really very little people talking coming off the field today.
Seau talked, had a good crowd around him. Just talked about how, He wasn't really sure, if you remember, when he broke his arm, he sort of waved to the crowd and acknowledged the crowd. He said that, you know, he knew he wanted to come back, but he wasn't sure if that was the end. And, you know, you only get that opportunity once if it is the end. But then had some contact with the Patriots. I thought, didn't take a shot at the Patriots, but his quote was very telling in that somebody, he said, I only really considered coming back here. Other teams were interested, but only here. Somebody said, well, what about San Diego? And he said, and San Diego, I wouldn't really fit. You know, I'd love to play for them again, had great career there, but I'm not really a part of their future. I'd just be an old guy getting in the way because they have young linebackers who are playing and learning to play. He goes, here I fit in. And I'm like, well, yeah, because there hasn't been a young linebacker here in a decade and a half. It was interesting the way he worded it. Talked a little bit about that young linebackers, it's a tough defense, and you know, that they can fit here, but it's going to take them a few years, whoever it is, when they're here, to learn the system. Nothing all that interesting.
Yeah, if I was going to take a couple things away from this, I would say, A, the passing offense has a chance to be amazing, obviously. Dalis Thomas is going to be all over the place creating havoc. And the one negative I would take is I'm not sure how much Bruschi has left in his tank. As bad as he looked at times last year, he looks much slower to me this year, and that's not a good sign.
Okay. Paul, you got to put your mic on.
Sorry about that. All Wes Welker all the time.
Okay.
He could catch.
You guys have come around.
He could catch 120 passes.
I just wanted to focus on the things that I figured you wouldn't shoot down.
I'm hearing that many players believe Wes Welker is the best athlete on the field at all times.
Well, okay. So I'm vindicated.
I'm with you, Fred.
All right. Did you guys get into emails at all?
Listen to this fraud.
Were you, did you do any emails?
No.
Webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. First hour, we had the stuff from the golf tournament.
And Fred, did you happen to notice that Rodney's using our interview to motivate him?
Really?
Did you read the Herald clips?
No.
Bruschi said, he'll find a way to stay motivated. He always does. And somebody asked Rodney about that, and he said, the quote is, those guys over there told me people think they can't count on me for the whole season. And he was pointing to us from when he did the radio interview. So if he has a great year, PFW in progress is the reason.
Well, at least we asked the hard questions, right? We're the only ones.
And
speaking
Don
of
Bank.
That,
and
speaking
Don
of that, were you surprised, Paul, because you talked about, of the, you know, the lack of persistence in Brady and his off-field questions?
That's funny. It was just the opposite. I
knew he was going to say
I was a little surprised that the sports guys, we all talked about maybe if the news guys.
Well, Donaldson was the guy.
Gus, yeah. Donaldson, Tom Padula from USA Today, Tony Maserati from the Boston Herald. There were a couple of follow-ups. There was at least three or four questions.
They were follow-ups, but they weren't particular to being a father. It was just the off-field coverage of a superstar.
Well, I mean, how many different ways are you going to
answer? That's what my point, Paul. It's
wait,
done.
Are you saying
it's done.
Those are the football guys?
My point is, how many different ways are you going to follow up on a question where he says, I'm not going to talk about it?
That's what I mean. I knew he would.
Now you said that the sports guys wouldn't ask about it. Tom's right. This is gonna turn into a stupid argument.
Did I say
probably
that?
End this.
Did I ever
I'm
say
not
that?
In the
yes.
Middle of this, I kind of forgot what you guys
else.
Are talking about.
Did I ever say the sports guys would never ask about this?
Right. Right.
You didn't say that they wouldn't ask any questions about it.
I said it'd be one or two, and then that would be it. Whoever asks.
Okay.
How did Brady do?
With fielding that question, I thought he did excellent.
Handling the situation.
I thought he did excellent about growing up, and I thought it was a great.
I thought he could have shown a little bit of excitement about becoming a father myself, but.
Okay. Well. All right.
Why is it such a big story?
I think if he did that, Paul,
because
he would
people
invite
make it.
More questions.
Like the Enquirer. It's not. You know when a song is on every radio station instead of just like the rock station, and it kind of, that's what this is. It's not just a sports story
anymore. Oh, this transcends sports.
It's the Enquirer.
It's a celebrity. It's everything. Yeah.
But is this like the first case of like this type of a story?
Well, you know, it's a combination of the goody two-shoe guy.
So is that why? Because
he
was golden child and now he's kind
of
knocked down?
I think it's part of it. Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't think it would be a big story if it was Mike Vick. Let's put it that way.
Right.
But if it was Manning, if it was Brady, if it was one of those All-American guys.
Okay. I think it's an interesting story the way it's a story. Like, why, how, because everybody leads in with it, you know, references on SportsCenter and Wendy Nix is doing stand-ups, and the way it's such a story is interesting to me, and I don't really get it, because I personally don't really care.
I don't care.
I couldn't care.
And I just wonder who cares, or is this one of those where the media thinks people care because it's a celebrity?
Look, I would be interested.
Yeah, like
those
the
people.
My wife.
That's the first thing she said to me this morning. You know, they finally asked them the questions. You know, and she was reading the stories in the paper. And she never reads the sports section. Never.
I'm not interested in the paparazzi stuff that goes on. But if Tom Brady was willing to sit down and talk to someone about how he was dealing with this and what the relationship is now and what kind of father he's going to be, what his involvement, I'd be interested to know, but I'm not interested in badgering him about it, you know?
I mean, I think everybody would read it, but
yeah, I'm interested, but it's not worth badgering the guy about it and following him around.
Well, I just, you know, I don't really care because I generally assume, unless I know a reason not to assume, that he's going to be a normal parent. You know what I mean? He's going to make mistakes. He's going to try things.
I mean, I don't know what the maybe the relationship is. You're going to see him once a year. I don't know. I don't know what the story is.
But even then, I just feel like that's how the world works these days, everyday life. I know he's Tom Brady, but there's a million cases of men and women not married and have kids.
And that's why I thought that he handled it perfectly, because everyone has stuff going on in their lives, you know? And it's just part of growing up. And
somebody asked me about this on a radio thing I did, how much it's going to affect him. And I said I didn't think it's going to affect him that much because it's not a football thing. I said I think the Deion Branch situation affected him far more because he lost a teammate, a best friend. He sort of sulked and moped about it for a couple weeks. To me, this is maybe he misses a little time to have a kid and the schedule changes a little. But I don't think he's going to be thinking about it that much.
I don't know. How can you not think about it, though? I mean, it's your firstborn.
I don't think he's going to miss it, but I just had a kid that was my firstborn, and it hasn't changed my entire outlook
because
on everything I do.
Because you have control.
And you're here.
You know every day when you come home, you're going to see your son.
I guess.
You know?
So you think
if Deirdre was across the country, how would it feel? You know? It'd be different.
She'd be much happier.
I don't think everyone thinks
that way. The kid
would
be more well-adjusted. I know that much.
I mean, maybe he just doesn't care. Did you ever think about that?
And that was part of what
maybe
I was saying.
Maybe that's true.
You might have shown a little bit more excitement.
But I don't really care if he doesn't care. It's unfortunate, but I don't really care.
And it's really none of our business.
Well,
it really isn't.
Here's the thing. That's 100% true right there. There's a lot of people in this world. Some of them are not cut out to be parents, and others are.
Right.
And
Tom?
You know, it's not for us. It's not for us to decide which ones are which.
That's why I'm not even going to get into it, because I'll open up a whole can of worms.
You guys want to know why this is such a big story, then we spend 35 minutes talking about it.
All right,
I know we'll probably get some emails.
But just for the record, I didn't want to know why. I had an idea that people were going to ask about it and people were going to be interested in it. I'm personally not, but I understood why ESPN was.
All right, let's get to some emails.
And that's the other thing, Fred. SportsCenter. I get home last night, 6 o'clock. First, like 20 minutes of SportsCenter was all Patriots all the time. They played Brady's comments for like 5 minutes. Then they went into like this and that and asked people about the team and camp and off season. I mean, you certainly don't say they don't get any attention, respect it. That's long gone.
Can't say that this year.
They are now America's team.
Yep. Now we're the team that
we'll find out on October 14th.
He takes the bait well, too.
I'm just saying.
Have we read any of the emails? Am I starting fresh?
You're on the first one there, and you can skip anyone that you want.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
Thank you, Renee.
Yes.
Did you thank Renee again?
Geez. Big time Renee comes through. 3 pies, 3 orders of buffalo wings, and a sandwich for Tom.
That has been gone for about 25 minutes.
Is there anything left here?
Renee is the best. There's stuff left, but we're still working.
Okay.
Renee is the best. We get not just a week. She's the emailer of the month, despite her questionable taste.
How do you know Renee's a girl?
All right, Renee, he or she is the emailer of the month.
Right.
She's the head, or he's the head of Tom's fan club.
Okay, cool. Good. All right,
he, it would make more sense.
Yeah. It's a she.
All right, Jim from Roanoke, North Carolina, he says he's got a quick story. He was in a local restaurant this past Saturday. He's on his way out the door, and he passed a soldier who noticed I was wearing a Patriots hat and jersey. He said he was a Patriots fan and was also from the local area. He went on to tell me that he used to be a Redskins fan but became a Pats fan back in 2002 while serving in Afghanistan and had just returned home after a year's tour in Iraq. I thanked him for all he and his fellow service personnel have done for us. We talked a while longer about his experiences during his tours. Because he had to get going, we were never able to talk about any recent events concerning the team. I say that is one big addition to the ever-expanding Patriots nation.
Wait a second. So why did he become a Patriots fan? Because they were good?
I respect him for defending our country, but I don't respect him for that. You root for the team you rooted for your entire life.
Oh, wow.
You don't switch just because your team stinks and now this is a good team. Well, not a real
okay.
Patriot.
As long as
fan.
They switch to us, Tom,
I'm not...
the bandwagon is a large one and we're accepting everyone.
First, let me start by saying only Tom Casale could rip a serviceman right. You know, who happens to root for the Patriots. But
no, I said I respect what he did for our country, but why is he a Patriots fan? It started in 2002.
And I don't know this for sure. I'm just going to, this is my somewhat educated guess, and you can help me out, Fred, because you're better with the details and this stuff. I'm going to guess that 2002, wasn't that when Larry Izzo
went on
his tour? I remember he had his
That's
Super
right.
Bowl ring that
That's
he was
right.
showing, and remember he lost it for a split second. He panicked. I thought that was the first one, the 2001 ring.
Yeah, so
might have been right around that time.
With the players.
He may have had an interaction with some Patriots, and that might have been
I like the fans that went through all the pain and the suffering.
RJ in Vegas via Gloucester says, I just read that Chad Jackson will probably be healthy enough to make the veteran minicamp, but that it could take up to 18 weeks for him to regain his speed. To be honest, I didn't see his speed during all of 2006, so I don't really know what to expect, but good news, I guess. And what do you think of Sidney Rice? I read that he lacks polish, but is big and fast and has a date with Foxborough soon. Will they look to sign on another wide receiver after everything they've done?
Well, Sidney Rice was drafted by the Vikings in the second round. So
not even Belichick can get him.
I'm not sure who he means.
Is Chad Jackson out there?
No.
No.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure he also means to say 18 months because a lot of people assume it's
I think that
still
email
a year.
Is about 8 months old.
No, these are all from
But I think it got lost like
yesterday.
In circulation. And
I think the guy was high when he wrote it.
Sawyer from Waterloo. Says, first of all, are all you guys out of Jake's basement from last week? Yes, we are, because we were out there in the kitchen.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
right.
Second, basement. I hope you get some food this week. Last week was a travesty. Maybe you should post your pictures on the web so people can see how you guys are wasting away.
I am.
But Renee did come through.
He's the incredibly shrinking man.
Renee came through.
Renee rules.
Can you guys give me opinions on the three Hall of Fame candidates? You don't need to say who should get in. But what you think of each so fans
Morgan.
Can make an educated vote. Okay, so what do you think?
Stanley Morgan should get in.
I think Stanley Morgan not only should be in the team Hall of Fame, he should be under serious consideration for a Pro Football Hall of Fame. And the only reason why he wouldn't get that kind of consideration is because he didn't play on teams that were successful enough.
Right.
And I understand that that's the way it works, and that's fine. But statistically, Andy's right. He is... dominant player. You talk about, you know, a Hall of Famer being a guy who dominated in his era. He dominated in his era for some good teams and some so-so teams. So clearly, you know, strong team Hall of Fame guy. I think it's somewhat of a travesty that he's not in now.
And with some so-so quarterbacks.
No, I agree. Of the three that
also
were
so-so quarterbacks.
Of the three in the ballot, I think Morgan really up against any Patriot that would be eligible is the guy that needs
right.
to get into the hall next.
He should have been in a long time. Yeah.
Ben Coates is a guy absolutely team Hall of Fame worthy. Numbers for a tight end off the charts. Just was a guy that constantly was the key focal point of the offense.
Made Drew Bledsoe.
Bledsoe went to him time and time again. You know, always looking for Ben Coates. And, you know, obviously the numbers speak for themselves. I think he's clearly... You know, I would put Morgan ahead of him right now, but clearly a guy who's destined
at
to get in the
point,
team Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and, you know, Ron Burton, a lot of sentimental, you know, votes for him, and he was the Patriots' first draft pick, had some decent numbers, and probably, you know, you could say he and Jim Nance were the first two kind of marquee running or feature backs that the Patriots had. I don't know. I think if you
Why
vote.
Why does that get you in the Hall of Fame?
If you vote Ron Burton in, it's for what he did.
Hall of Fame person,
you know,
not a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah, I mean, amazing person. What he did with kids,
to be fair,
unbelievable.
They've already honored him for that.
Well,
it's the Ron Burton award.
So, and you know, I just wouldn't vote for him. I'm sorry.
But if you're voting someone into a Hall of Fame, it's based on what they did on the field.
Right.
But it doesn't matter what we think. They
can
go online at Patriots.com and they can vote.
You know, I want to do a quick comparison, Fred, because you mentioned Jim Nance, okay? Jim Nance played from 65 to 71. Ron Burton played from 60 to 65. So
right.
a similar, you know, you're talking about a similar time frame. Jim Nance is number two on the all-time rushing list for the Patriots. Ron Burton is 17th, behind guys like Kevin Falk, Steve Grogan, Leonard Russell.
Right.
Leonard Russell. Okay, so, you know, this is a guy, he's a Hall of Fame person, no doubt, but for his career, had 1,536 yards. So less than Corey Dillon had in 2004.
Right, right.
3.6 yards per carry and 9 touchdowns. Now, Jim Nance, you're talking 5,300 yards and 45 touchdowns. Still a team record for career touchdowns rushing.
Right.
That's a team Hall of Fame worthy guy.
Yeah.
Paul's putting together quite a list of dead people he's ripped.
As far as honoring him as a Hall of Fame person.
Darren Williams.
You know, as
Ron Burton and Marquise Hill.
You know.
How did I rip Marquise Hill?
Yeah, you've done it. I think it was on the air. May
not
have been
on the
off.
Air.
You know, as far as honoring Ron Burton as a Hall of Fame person, the Patriots, like Tom said, have the it's the Ron Burton Award that players win every year for their off the field.
And that's a good way to honor
work.
Him.
Right. And it is a great, and it's every year his name will come up in that context. And I think it's an appropriate.
And every year people will write about him when they write about the award.
To bring it
right.
Up.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, Fred, I was very uncomfortable having him nominated with his son as part of the committee.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
you know, what are you going to do?
I know.
A quick, aside.
Well, I'm not done with the email, but that's all right.
Well, it relates to Ron Burton because okay. I believe one of the winners, or maybe the inaugural Ron Burton Award winner, was Joe Andruzzi, I think. And I don't know if you've seen Joe Andruzzi has cancer.
Right.
Being treated in at Dana-Farber in Boston. But he gets it again. We all remember he had that random infection or whatever it was
yeah.
when his joints. Now he's got a form of cancer that there's only 100 cases a year in the United States. And he's one of the guys who's got it. And it's a fast-growing cancer, I guess his agent said, that they think they can treat. But it's certainly not as treatable as what is it, Hodgkin's lymphoma,
right.
like Mario Lemieux had. And a lot of these athletes have had come back from. This is a pretty serious form of cancer. So hopefully he gets a good treatment up there and gets through it.
Let's see. Josh also says, I like how Tom Brady handled the baby question. It is his personal life, and other people have babies all the time, and we don't hear about it. By the way, congratulations, Gary. You're having a baby, Gary? No? Oh.
No, he's just marrying one.
Just
eating a lot.
But that argument just doesn't, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
It hurt a lot more coming from me, you can tell. It's like when Tom rips me, I get really mad at Tom.
Boy, you should have seen the look Gary just gave Paul. It was like, et tu, brute.
Right, no, and I understand, I feel bad now, I have to apologize, because I understand exactly why it hurt more coming from me. It's exactly the feeling I get when Tom makes fun of me. It hurts way more coming from Tom than Andy.
Well, Fred, that argument doesn't hold water with me. Well, everyone has babies. Well, everyone's not Tom Brady. I mean, we can't understand why it's such a big deal. We don't necessarily really care about it that much. Yeah. But Tom Brady isn't Tom Casale. Let's be honest. As much as I wish he was, he's not.
It's like Prince, whatever his name is, over in Britain, the next in line there. You know, whenever that kid dates a new girl, it's on the front page.
Or Clinton. A lot of people have affairs. Yeah. I'm hoping to have one someday.
Yeah, sure.
You are just not cut out for this life.
Lastly, I love the way Rodney approaches the game and how he plays. How does Adelius compare to Rodney's style? Anyone?
I don't think we've seen enough of Thomas on the field.
It's an interesting question, though.
Rodney is mean.
Yeah, I
field.
Don't see that
he's,
streak.
He's
somewhat
mean.
Misguided.
I haven't seen that streak in Thomas, you know, and what little I've seen him on film.
He seems
he's just
a great athlete.
Such a versatile player.
And, I mean, Harrison has that mean streak about him where he doesn't like anybody.
That's what he's talking about. It's his attitude toward the game, not necessarily his skill.
I don't know if we can really answer that because we haven't really seen
it.
Hard,
yeah. All right, Phil.
Rashad Baker has it.
Oh, my God, Rashad Baker. I don't know if he's still on the team.
Really?
He's killing people out there.
Is that right?
Whew. Probably shouldn't be talking
about
that.
No one from the NFL is listening.
Right. let's see. Phil from Nova Scotia has a two-parter. First one, serious. First, thank you, Fred and Tom, for your book recommendations. I'm currently reading The Education of a Coach, and I'm really enjoying it. I like that it not only gives
I have a question. When did Tom ever recommend a book to anybody?
Solid book.
Now, Fred's a cerebral sort. You know, he's an intellectual, pseudo-intellect.
I like that it not only gives me some of Coach Belichick's history, but also that of the NFL. NFL, for me, began in 2000, the first year I started watching football. Quick side note, I was actually a Bills fan, another one, and that first year, but when the local cable station changed their U.S. station feeds from Buffalo to Boston in 01, I became a Patriots fan because I was too broke at the time to get NFL ticket. Talk about good timing. Anyway, although I missed a lot of good football pre-2000, I'm glad I can catch up through reading.
So you didn't miss much. No, you didn't. You were a Bills fan. You saw all the good football.
Now, tell the truth. Did that switch in the cable feed happen in week three of 2001?
Guy by the name of Brady.
Well, now part two is related to part one because on the book recommendations, this is if each of us wrote, I can't even speak. If we wrote books, what would they be? And he says Fred would write a tell-all about the Patriots organization using the pen name Jake Steele. Although the book will be a runaway bestseller, Fred will still complain about the cost of buying three new mattresses in which to stuff all his new millions. Paul will write a book describing his time spent working as a PFW writer entitled Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Despite having a rather odd and long-winded title, it will be considered an academic masterpiece amongst football elites.
I don't know about the 10 a.m., but
oh.
Wasn't 10 a.m. today.
Tom will write the screenplay for Cleaver 2, Sopranos reference, although it will be a box office flop. Tom will make loads of money from the sales of bumper stickers and T-shirts stamped with the movie's tagline, "Look at that douchebag."
Look at that douchebag.
Unfortunately for Tom, all the money he has left over from a three-week bender in Vegas will be spent on buying his twin baby girls everything their hearts desire. And Andy will write a graphic novel featuring himself in an army of scantily clad, outrageously large-breasted, genetically enhanced cheerleaders invading and conquering Ireland, whereupon he forces the population to drink nothing but light beer and to learn to speak American. 3 weeks after the novel is
American.
Released, 3 weeks after the novel is released, poor Andy is found in the trunk of his car with his body parts in the shape of a four-leaf clover.
Who was this email from?
That's from Phil from Nova Scotia.
That's excellent.
Well done, Phil.
Very good. So those are the books. But if we have any other book recommendations, Phil would want to know football related.
So Fred, yes. In my 10:30 arrival today,
yes,
I got hit from behind on my way in.
Oh my God! What happened when you got in the car?
Oh jeez. So anyway, I get out of the car, right?
Is this the man?
To make sure there wasn't, you know, any real damage to the car. And plus, my car is like, you know, 10 years old, so who cares? So I get out, and the woman's like immediately opening the door, very apologetic. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. Are you okay? Blah blah blah.
And my neck.
I'm like, don't worry. No, it's fine. It's fine. She goes, it was totally my fault. I was fixing my daughter's hair.
Oh, my God.
She's fixing her. We were in ridiculous traffic. I mean, I read, like,
yeah, what happened on 128 today?
There was an accident at Winter Street. But anyway, you know, so that just means, you know, for 50 miles, you know, traffic breaks up. But she's fixing her daughter's hair. I was reading Asante Samuel stories on my way in. I didn't hit anybody.
Right. Oh, jeez.
Fixing my daughter's hair. I thought that was a great excuse.
And she was in the back seat. Ben from Foxborough.
Was she hot?
If you were Bill Belichick and or Scott Pioli, what kind of contract would you offer Asante Samuel? I'd like to get everyone's opinion on this.
1 year, $7.79 million.
What would I would think a contract along the lines of what Dre Bly got is not out of the realm of possibility, in my opinion, for Asante Samuel. I don't know how you guys feel. It's 5 years, $33 million. It was about 16, I guess, up front in guarantees. I don't think that's an outrageous contract.
It's not, but I don't know if the Patriots are going to offer him that.
That's not, but he was asking what we would give.
I think the total they would, but I don't think they want to give him 16 up front.
Well, I think it was in guarantees.
Right. Oh, okay.
I don't necessarily
think
it was all.
And then 10 or 8.
Yeah, I don't think it was a $16 million signing bonus. Yeah. It might have been.
First of all, they haven't given anybody ridiculous money up front. Right. Immediate.
It might have been eight up front with an $8 million roster bonus due March 1 next year.
I'd probably do that.
I mean, I don't think that's ridiculous. Let's put it this way: that the Clemens deal is probably more like that anyway. I mean, we know for sure it was whatever, like $18 million of it gets chopped off
automatically because
when
of the roster
bonus.
Bonus
that he gets next year, it automatically stipulates
right.
That last year is
right.
Void.
And there's even more that's.
Well, that's what
so
I was going
to
say.
So it's really
I
only a 6 year.
Close to the Clemens deal.
It's really only a 7 year, $64 million contract.
You kind of can give him anything. If you're going to tailor a deal like that, you can give him pretty much. Maybe it's only $19 million.
But that was more like that's more like 30 something in guarantees, isn't it?
Well, no.
But 20.
It's 20.
I thought it was 26 and something.
Oh, I don't think
guarantees.
So. I thought it was only like 22 or 23.
When I say guarantees, I'm not
22 or
yeah,
23.
Yeah, that's all. When I'm saying he's killing me over $3 million, I'm not saying when I say guarantee, I'm not saying like strictly if he like broke his leg yesterday,
right.
He gets it. I'm saying he has like a
he's
$12 million bonus on that he's going to get, let's face it.
He's
pretty much guaranteed mid-30s or something like
that's,
that.
That's dollars. What I had. I thought I had read a long time ago. But we know it's not an $80 million contract, so we can put that. It's not 8 years, $80 million. He's not getting that.
Fred, what would you give him? You didn't answer.
No, I agree with Paul, but I just worry about the $16 million in guarantees.
Well, you'd have to get creative. Yeah, it would figure out how to give a... You know, maybe you give him $8 million up front. Maybe you give him $6 million on March 1st and another $2 million if he's, you know, doing this.
When I talked to, you know, when Andy Wasichuk was here, even he admitted that, you know, what you're paying a guy today, you have to really look at what it is toward the end of the contract. Not necessarily the backloaded stuff, but let's just say Dre Bly right now, man, he is way overpaid. Okay. You're thinking that in your mind for a cornerback of his skill level. He's overpaid. But now that sets a market. So 4 or 5 years ago, when at the end of his contract and hopefully at the end of Samuel's contract, what will that contract really be compared to the next guys? And you have to think of it that way. And, you know, maybe giving him Dre Bly money right now is a little bit more than you want to pay. But 5 years from now, it's a pretty good investment, you know, because cornerbacks are making that much more by that point. So.
And he's young. He seems to be on top of his game right now.
Well, he's young. He could be still not. He might not have peaked yet. You know, his numbers, 10 picks may have peaked.
I think you're going to get 2 or 3 good years from him at
least. You should get to. Yeah.
Yeah.
And one thing that I kind of disagree with the local coverage on this situation, Samuel, I don't think Samuel was Champ Bailey by any stretch of the imagination, but Samuel was not a one-hit wonder.
No.
Samuel has been a player who came in at a reasonable level and has steadily gotten better every year.
Yes.
To the point where he had a great year last year. Like Andy just said, do I expect him to get 10 picks every year? No.
Yeah.
Nobody does.
Yeah, he did not come out of nowhere.
He didn't.
Yeah.
He's made plays for this team periodically for 4 years and more consistently the last two. People forget in 2005, he may have been their best defensive player in the playoffs. He had a great game in Denver. You know, everybody remembers that foolish pass interference call they made on him. That was a terrible call, but he had a good game otherwise.
Yeah.
A big pick in that game earlier. He has been a good player who had a great year. He's not a one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of people are trying to paint that picture, but, you know, as we know, you know, the coverage in this town is a little bit painted toward the local teams.
Well, it should. I mean, you know, as far as the Patriots go.
And there's usually, at any given time, there's usually only one Champ Bailey.
Right.
And it's Champ Bailey. There's no one, in my opinion, close to him when it comes to corner. So I think that comparison's a little outrageous anyway.
Next in line probably my boy.
D'Angelo Hall.
Dwayne says, so I tune into the roster.
That's the way I saw Terrell Owens abuse him.
Well, he stopped him twice now.
All right. So I tune into the roster report last Friday, and what's the first thing out of Andy Hart's mouth?
Uh-oh.
Praise for Wes Welker. This is the same guy that said Randy Moss would call Wes a short piece of nothing. And now he joins seemingly all of the other reporters at passing/minicamp in praising Welker. Andy,
he looks good.
Have you flip-flopped yet on Wes Welker's prospective value? If you have, does it now seem like the trade was worth it?
Nope.
Okay, so you're still saying it wasn't worth it.
I was just being stubborn.
Can I just
say? No, because they still gave up a second of whatever else they gave up and $18 million.
Right.
Still a lot of money for a guy that I think is going to have a good year, not necessarily as much because about what he can do, but because of what he has around him. I think you can find complimentary players like that anywhere.
Can I?
They're called Jabari Gaffney and Rishay Caldwell. I don't think you can find Dante Stallworth and Randy Moss just anywhere. They're called talented first-round picks.
Can I ask a question, too, not necessarily in regards to what we think of Welker, but would people rather have us have an opinion and then be proven wrong and just stick with the opinion? I mean,
Johnny Damon?
Andy
he
and
stinks.
Andy
and I have
been
for 5 years.
Andy and I were somewhat critical of Welker's value or whatever. We watched him go out for passing camp last Thursday. We watched him the first 2 days of minicamp, and he's buzzing around. He's catching everything in sight. He's quick as lightning in and out of his little breaks coming across the field. What are we supposed to say?
No,
he stinks? We think he's looked great.
And I'll speak to the listeners here on your behalf. You know, follow my lead, listeners. If I'm willing to forgive them, you should too.
I don't need forgiveness,
particularly
from you.
If the emailer wants full disclosure, I actually got into a fight with somebody in the bathroom yesterday here at Gillette Stadium who was telling me that Wes Welker was going to have a great year, was going to be Troy Brown 2001, was the best athlete on the field, all this kind of stuff. And I said, that's disrespectful to Troy Brown because I think Welker's going to have a good year, but I don't think he can hold Troy Brown's jock
talent. I think if you took Moss and Stallworth out of the equation and you put Gaffney and Caldwell out there, I think you vastly overpaid for Wes Welker.
Right.
I don't think he would have come up with half of the.
I mean that.
No one's going to cover him.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But
as a piece to the puzzle, I think Wes Welker can be great as the man.
So Wes Welker is the Roosevelt Colvin of offense.
As the man that some portrayed him to be when they made the deal, right. I don't think that he's that guy.
He's the J.D. Drew of this offense.
I said he would be an important part of this team when they made the deal.
Right. Now, I think without Moss and Starworth, he wouldn't be an important part of the team.
Okay. Well,
he'd be an important part. It wouldn't be a very good team.
I'd say he'd be even a more important part.
The important part of an 8-8 football
team. But my point
is
he wouldn't be capable of doing that.
Okay.
He's not capable of being the guy.
That's all I'm saying. I've been very impressed with him. Very impressed with him. I thought he's looked great.
For the 17th straight week.
Is Kevin Falk an
I thought he's looked great.
I mean, I think Kevin Falk's an important part of the team, but I don't think he's a number one back. But I still think he could be an important part of the team.
Okay.
You know, Wes Welker could be an important part of the team without being the number one receiver.
How was Kevin Falk's imprint on the 2002 season when they had nothing else around him? That's my point.
And how much money does Kevin Falk make? They didn't hand him $18 million and trade a second-round pick and another
pick.
No,
but they used a second-round pick on him.
Yeah, that's fine. They used
details.
Right.
Details.
He was a second-round pick.
Yeah.
All right. Ash from Virginia says, last week you said depending on how Brady handling the question about his baby this week would sort of determine his stance on everything. Brady didn't just dance around the subject. He skipped around it. He completely dodged the questioning about his personal life. So from now on, there should be no comments on Brady's somewhat new celebrity life. He's completely 100% focused on football. Anyway, this is not concerning the Patriots, but I want to tell a situation involving this Michael Vick dogfighting thing.
He's 100% focused on football when he's having dinner in Paris with Giselle and
about
then going
4 years
to Africa.
Ago,
By the way, I have no idea what those first two sentences of that email meant.
That's all right. About 4 years ago, me and my mom were walking my dog, and this guy who knew my mom
stories.
And knew she was a veterinarian assistant, he asked her, could he get some medicine that helps treat dogs when they are scarred? My mom asked why, and he said, we're going to be fighting with Vick's dog. That might not be a clear indication of anything, but I just think he's deeply involved with the dog fighting, and that situation may hint into it.
Wait a minute. This guy's dog fought Michael Vick's dog?
No, somebody that knew his mother and knew his mother was a veterinarian assistant said that his dog was going to be fighting Vick's dog.
Really?
This is a guy from Virginia.
You get breaking news here on PFW.
We don't know if there's any.
I wouldn't have read that. But
if I don't read anything.
I don't care.
I mean, I have no allegiance to Michael Vick, but believe me.
We should call up, what's that guy, the prosecutor? We got information here, breaking news.
Poindexter.
Poindexter, yeah.
I just like saying Poindexter.
George from Goffstown, New Hampshire. This question's for Tom, the talent scout, Casale. With the impending holdout of Asante Samuel, what are the chances the Pats try to pick up Paul Oliver from Georgia?
What are the chances you listened to last week's show?
Zero.
We talked about him last week. What were we saying? Fourth round, maybe? Fourth, fifth rounder?
Yep.
At best, they would probably might give up if they really liked him. I don't see anything higher than that, to be honest with you. And I don't think this has anything to do with Asante Samuel, because Paul Oliver is not going to come in here and...
Yeah, I mean, I don't really see how much better position you're in if you draft a guy in the supplemental draft. Yeah.
Paul Oliver isn't walking through that door, folks.
I got a question. If you look at it theoretically or whatever, is it possible that Ellis Hobbs has the Asante Samuel jump this year, becomes your true number one.
Absolutely.
And now you're just filling in with Randall Gay, Chad Scott, whoever, as a number two complimentary corner.
No, I think that's absolutely possible, theoretically.
Could it happen?
Yes, I think it could happen. And but my point, the larger point here, that and I'll back your whole line of thinking there, I think that's why this isn't a really huge deal, because I do think Asante Samuel is a good player. I do think that he's in line to make more money than he's going to get as a franchise guy, but I think the Patriots are in a position where they're going to be successful with or without him.
But could the Patriots be thinking that? Could they be saying, you know what?
Sure, I think they are thinking that.
But I think Hobbs is our number one corner. Maybe they think he's going to develop into their guy.
They could be thinking that, but...
You hate him, so you don't
I really
think
do
No,
think
but
that
my point is, why would you... If you thought that... What do you think of Samuel? If the Patriots think Samuel was good, but they think Hobbs is just as good, if not better, that wouldn't...
Maybe they're saying
that wouldn't tell
Hobbs
me I
got to
get rid
years.
Of Samuel.
I got news for you. Hobbs is going to want a big payday. If
but
he
if
turns into
they're
that
thinking
being
if
accurate.
We give this guy $40 million and $20 million up front, Hobbs is going to want more than that.
But
he's our guy.
But 2 years from now, when he's up, he'll get more than that. That's just the natural progression of things.
And
right?
They'll ask for more than that.
Yeah, but if they haven't set the precedent, they can say, "Well, no, we don't pay anybody."
My point: I don't think it would be a wise course of action to say, that we think one guy might be better, so we can get rid of. You need cornerbacks. So if they think Samuel is good, but they're not gonna pay him because they think Hobbs might be a little better, I don't think that's smart.
And I got another philosophical question that popped up in this little discussion. Dre Bly is a number two corner, right?
On that team, yeah.
You think there's agents out there, you know, trying to negotiate for their team's number two corner, like Ellis Hobbs? Say he, right now he was up. Well, the going rate for number two corners is $16 million up.
$5 and $33 million No, that's funny, you know, and that's another reason why that I think that Belichick really hates those labels.
What,
you know,
number one wide receiver, number one
shut down corner. I think that's probably another factor why he hates those labels, and you'll never really hear him use them. You don't want an agent coming back and say, "Well, you in a press conference, you called Ellis Hobbs a shut down corner."
Fred, I don't know if it was just the wind or the acoustics today, but Bill was very audible from the bleachers. We heard a lot of good, colorful language from the bleachers.
He has fastball today.
F's and A's and all kinds of words.
I'm glad we don't
say.
Paraphrase what we hear on the field.
Well, I didn't say what he said. I just said very colorful language. No, he's
kinda,
a coach.
It's kind of like the listeners have no idea who was at the photo shoot. It's just the captains.
Well, and I got news for the Patriots. They better not pull this crap with Hobbs because he's not going to stay out of the media.
Oh, no question.
That'll be a circus.
He'll give him a no comment and then keep talking.
Fred,
did
we talk to you about that one yesterday?
What's that?
When Hobbs was asked about the Asante Samuel situation, I forget the... You know, the particulars of the question, but he answered no comment, and 3.5 minutes later, he was done.
I'm not lying. He really was.
I am not lying.
Lawyer Malloy a long time ago at
training
camp.
Hey, lawyer.
Hey, lawyer. He drives by in his car, says to the media that wanted to ask, no comment, drives around the rotary at Bryan College, comes back and spends about 20 minutes with him.
That was the day they released Willie Clay.
Yeah, that was funny.
I liked Willie Clay.
Yeah. Big Say Clay, big say I used Clay. To call him. Not Big Play. Big Say.
Let's see. I'm not sure if I should read this because it has some personal things about Paul.
Well,
go ahead.
Nate from Boston.
You know Nate?
Dear Lunch Grubbing Freeloaders.
I know a Nate.
Just kidding. Anyone who can coax free food weekly out of shut-ins, Uber geeks, and detoxing football junkies earns my undying respect.
Hey, Nate, cheese it on the geeks.
Power to you.
They don't know.
Pass the prize. Now for the real stuff. As a former colleague of Paul's,
I can
state unequivocally that A, we don't hear enough from him, even with the regular radio gigs you cohorts bemoan.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I know the identity of his mysterious would-be mistress at his previous place of employment, and I wholeheartedly agree. I'll never forget how flushed Paul would get every time she sashayed by our desk. Go, Paulie, go.
Who is it?
I think it was Karen Garizian, wasn't it?
Oh, no. That's not right. That's not nice.
Who was it?
I'm not selling.
Oh.
Why not? You're married now. It's
embarrassing.
It's
okay,
why
now.
It's embarrassing. Is it one of the track girls?
I don't know if it's the sun
it's like
or
yours.
I don't know if it's
oh, she's not really hot?
Right.
Oh.
And I didn't know that Nate was aware of that, but evidently it wasn't such a secret in the office.
Let's see. Who else could it be? Who else was at the Herald at that? Was it one of the girls? The track girls?
I hope it was a girl.
No, this wasn't one of your things. This wasn't one of your things, Tom. It was indeed a woman.
Who?
Do I know her?
Yeah.
She's still there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, it's Karen, the track girls. That's all I can think of.
Was not in sports.
Oh, who was the girl that used to do the
track
column?
Track girls? It's one of the track girls.
All right. Anyway, I haven't heard
Gail
much
or Laura.
I haven't heard much talk
Gail?
About this, but believe that the off-season retooling of the roster, particularly at the wide receiver, has as much to do with the prospects.
All right, Judy Batista. You want me to say it? I got a thing for Judy Batista.
I don't know why.
All right.
It was Laura. Anyway, go ahead.
He wants to know if the retooling has as much to do with the prospects of a whole season on the new field turf at Gillette as anything else, knowing that their total of artificial turf games has just grown from slightly less than half per season to roughly 90% this season and henceforth. I think the Pats have tweaked their concept of the perfectly Patriot player and are putting a greater emphasis on speed and turf maneuverability than they have before. It's a lot different, after all, than playing in a sandbox.
Boy, this guy's just like Paul.
You think there's any validity to that?
What do you think happens with Belichick if we ask him, you know, the fact that you have field turf now, is that why you felt it necessary to go out and get guys with, you know,
speed, talent?
Apparently this douche doesn't listen to the show because we've talked about this before.
Hey, he's a good guy.
All right. Well,
that was Nate still?
Yeah.
That's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will be back next Wednesday with a whole edition, 2 hours. See you
with Eric.